across the UK, online and on DAB. The Tommy Boyd Radio Experiment. For those about to talk, we salute you.
Tommy Boyd on Talk Radio.
Imagine a figure standing on an upturned bucket. A dark, somber, scared, confused, terrified person standing on an upturned bucket. Hands tied behind his back. Noose round his neck. Imagine. Could such a thing ever happen in this country? Well, it's this country I'm talking about. This country is standing on an upturned bucket with a noose round its neck. And let me tell you, there's a queue. There's a queue forming to kick the bucket away. And I'm not talking about the criminals who today we discover are even more dangerous on the high street, in the back alleys, in the parks, in your own home than they have been for, is it 10 or 15 years? Those are the statistics. They're not queuing up to kick the bucket out from underneath our country. And by the way, I'm no jingoist. I'm only slightly a patriot, but I am a patriot. I do love this country, but I love other countries too. I love the British people, but I love other people too. I would worry about another country if that country was standing on an upturned bucket with a noose around its neck and with people milling around itching to kick the bucket away, and they are. And it's not the people who voted Leave, although they're around. Let me tell you who the people are who are waiting to kick the bucket out from this country. It is the very people who we have entrusted with running the country. Because if what we are to believe is going on amongst the 15 or 20 people who, according to our unwritten constitution, run this country, if what we are hearing and reading about them is true, they haven't taken their eye off the ball. Their eye hasn't been on the ball for months. That ball is running this country. But they're only worried about their next job. Now, they say that the first thing you should do when you get a new job is to start thinking about your next new job. That might be good advice to people who work in insurance firms, or people who zigzag in the world of retail, or people who work in broadcasting. That might be a great piece of advice. But if you're the foreign secretary, if you're the minister in charge of EU negotiations, if you're the Chancellor of the Exchequer, and you are doing nothing other than working towards your next job, who's running the country? And if nobody's running the country, because the people who are supposed to be running the country are running their own lives, running their own careers, running their own CVs, are they not effectively forming a queue, and it's not just those three, to kick the bucket out from underneath this country, which, if I can take you back to that harrowing image, has its hands tied behind its back, and we do, and a noose around its neck, and we do. Are we blindfold? I don't know. Will it make any difference? Why do they blindfold people? Why did they blindfold people who were on the gallows? I don't know. The list is endless of people who are vying to become the new Prime Minister. You've got a little gnomic fellow, Michael Gove. He's not out of the running, is he? No, he's undoubtedly up to something, isn't he? There's Jeremy Hunt, the man who they say looks like an estate agent, waiting to try and convince you to buy this one-bedroom flat. It's lovely. Leadsom. Andrea Leadsom, the lady who recently berated a Newsnight presenter by saying that the press ought to be more patriotic. The lady who yesterday in the House of Commons described Jane Austen as our greatest living author. These people are lining up not to get this country out of a predicament, but to get themselves out of their perceived predicament, which is that their extremely important job isn't important enough. They want an even more important job. And then what, if they get to 10 Downing Street, isn't it going to be just another case of, what happens next? A politician's job is to make our lives better, and in so doing, make us happier. I've never seen that written on the tin. Maybe I'm a one-off. Maybe other people think that the politician's job is slightly different from that. But I think it is to make our lives slightly better, and as a result, make us a little bit happier. And is that what any of them are doing at the moment? Oh, and by the way, did you think 6 months ago that the Labour Party would appear to be the absolute embodiment of cohesive activity compared to the Conservative Party, who do appear to be acting, as someone said at the weekend, like a bunch of rats in a sack? There's a turnaround. The difference is, though, that the Labour Party, when they were at each other's throats, and they probably still are, but they got a nice veneer over it now, the difference was that then the Labour Party were just the opposition. That's all. All they had to do was criticise the government. The Conservative Party now appear to be in a greater state of disarray than the Labour Party were 6 months ago. The difference is they're running the country. Or supposed to be running the country. All I will say is that it is one of the few things that gives me the opportunity to exercise my God-given right to self-righteous indignation. I am feeling self-righteous indignation. Just like every Daily Mail reader expects when they pick up the paper. And I'll tell you what, it's delicious. Nikki's here this evening.
Hello.
Sorry about that.
That's all right.
I feel
quite better
deeply
for that.
About
yeah,
that.
Yeah.
I feel that we are, you know,
stood on that bucket.
Well, there's a phrase. Have you heard the phrase "going to hell in a handcart"?
Yes, I have.
I don't know.
I don't know what it means. I don't know where it's come from.
Well, I think somebody.
I don't know what it means.
Softened the use of the word hell, because you couldn't say that out loud only 20, 30 years ago. You'd have been arrested, by giving it some sort of quaint alliterative attachment. So you can't say the country's going to hell. Well, you couldn't, but you can say the country's going to hell in a handcart.
Oh, that's all right then.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. I was talking to a chap this week who I know who works for a radio station in Mansfield. Does that mean anything to you at all?
No.
No. Kathy's here this evening. I wonder, she's nodding, so I'm going to pull her onto the microphone. Kathy's.
Hello.
If I told you that I have a friend who works for a radio station in Mansfield, you know where this is going.
I think we might have the same friend.
Okay, cool. That's cool. Can we talk about that at all?
Yes.
Has it been talked about?
We've spoken about it before, yeah.
Okay, fine. So that word can be used.
Well.
No.
Let's be careful. We could say winker.
Yeah.
You know the story, Nikki?
No.
Okay, can I tell...
You can tell me the story.
Okay, I'll tell you the story. So, there's a radio station, I think it's Mansfield 103.
That's right.
Which is owned by a great guy called Tony Delahunty. And I think kind of half run by a very nice chap called Ian Watkins. And somebody has been doing to this radio station what, going back in the history of British radio stations, people used to do with a start-up thing called Radio Jackie, which didn't have an official licence in southwest London. And so what the guys and girls who were running Radio Jackie used to do was to drive out in the evening, stick up a mast anywhere where they could, and then connect it to a couple of turntables and play some song. Radio Jackie! And it was illegal. And I think they might have even gone to prison if they got caught, but they never did. And in the end, they ended up establishment and Radio Jackie became a proper radio station. Have I got that about right, Kath?
Yes, absolutely. It's still illegal, you know.
To do what they did?
To do what's happening now as well.
Prison?
Yeah.
Oh, God. So this chap then, who is at the moment, or might be a woman, I don't know, but they say they've seen a him riding a motorbike, puts up a mast every so often on the same frequency as this radio station in Mansfield and plays a song, which I remember and I used to find quite funny, by an artist called Ivor Biggum. And the song is, it goes like this. I'm a winker, I'm a winker, and it does me good like it well should. I'm a winker, I'm a winker, I'm a... And I was talking to these guys about it. They rang me up. I don't know why, actually, but they did yesterday, day before yesterday.
They didn't think it was you, did they?
I was just thinking that.
No. I would be even cleverer than that. I said to them, you know, that the unfortunate thing is the reason this has gone global and viral and the rest of it is because, thanks partly to Alan Partridge, but also to a great many men who broadcast, the suspicion across the land is that most men on the radio are winkers. And they're right.
I wouldn't like to comment.
And they're absolutely right.
You're not in that category, by the way.
Only in one respect.
Oh, yeah, well, absolutely. Well, I should imagine so. Yeah, it's natural.
Funny, you know, we've come a long way as a society, thank goodness, in tolerating different sexual preferences. Some sexual preferences will never be tolerated, will always be unlawful, and there's no... that argument cannot be broached or even approached. But men having fun with men over a certain age...
Fine,
great.
No problem.
What's the problem?
Exactly. Women everyone to their own.
With women.
Yeah.
Over a certain age.
Yeah.
And so on, so on, so on.
Yeah.
But people over the age of 16 having fun with themselves is still taboo.
I know.
And it's still considered sort of shameful and something that must not happen.
And everybody knows it happens.
And everybody knows it happens.
Exactly.
Okay, so the rest of the world now has cottoned onto this idea that British men actually... wink at themselves from time to time. And I think that's largely why it's become such a global thing. Partly, again, we're coming back to the state of the nation. I think the rest of the world thinks that most of us are.
Yes.
Winkers.
I think that's funny.
It is. It is. And it's quite tidy, too, because what I did there, as you probably noticed, was draw together the notion of, you know, self-pleasure and so forth and the state of the nation. And I'm going to move on swiftly from it, actually, because the other thing that we need to talk about, Nikki and Kath, and there's a fine gentleman assisting us on the programme this morning, whose name I'm not going to even pretend anybody's told me. So, Sam. Just as well I can lip read, isn't it, Kath? Kath, just so that you've got a picture here, Nikki and I are in a well-lit, smart gizmo-ridden studio, and Kath, who's the producer, is in what's called the control room, which is suitably not quite as salubrious as the studio. I've always wondered about the equality thing of that, so I couldn't actually hear her say that Sam is driving the show, so she mimed Sam. Can you mime Sam? Mime Sam and see if Nikki... Just say Sam without saying it. Oh, yeah, I did get it. OK.
What am I saying now?
I want to talk about irritating people, and this is really going to be the main part of the show, I think. Harriet, just before we came on air, I popped in to trail the show on Harriet's show, and she asked me, how do you define irritating?
People that really get up your nose.
But can you go further than that? I mean, it's one of those things, you know, don't you, that when somebody is starting to irritate you.
I want to punch them.
Okay, well, yeah, there's that side of it. Not really. Sure.
Well, I wouldn't physically do it, but you know, if I could, I would.
Yeah, I just think it's when they think they've got something going on and they're not quite getting it right as far as you're perceiving it is one way of irritating. But maybe each of the irritating people that we've got on the list, by the way, at home or not podcasting, you can't do this. At home, if you are at home and you want to nominate your most irritating person. I'll get Kath, if she's got a moment, to remind us of the ways in which we can contact the programme, because it's quite fulsome and I've got cheese for brains at the moment. Oh, Nikki's got the list. Yeah. You do it.
Yeah, well, if you want to get involved and let us know about irritating people, give us a call on 0344 499 1000. You can, of course, text us. Text TALK in your message to 87222. Text costs 25p in your standard network rate. Or you can tweet at TALK Radio.
OK, so what I've done is I've got the word out a little bit early on this. And we've got some loyal... well, shall I describe these people? Not fans. I hate the word. They're not fans. They're friends.
That's a good way. That's a really good way of describing
friends
it.
Friends are what we do. And so the word went out. And what I suggest we do, Nikki, is work our way through some of the people who've been nominated as being the most, potentially the most irritating person in the country at the moment, and discuss whether or not they deserve to go on to the final list of 20.
Okay.
And then tomorrow we will finalise the final list of 20 into a top 20, and we'll count it down, because I always wanted to do the countdown show on Radio 1.
No, you're not going to do it to a bit of cheesy music.
I don't know. Casa producer, should we do the da-da-da-da-da-da?
No.
Da-da-da. Should we do that?
No.
No.
How cheesy do you want to go? I mean, we can
cheesy.
Go to town if you like.
Oh, cheesy.
Let's do it.
Shall we?
Mm.
You do some production tomorrow.
So yeah.
Ba, 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 that. I
yeah, what's
sing.
It called? The sign of the swinging something. Swinging cymbal.
Something like
pass.
That, yeah. I think I you're right, yeah.
I'll find it.
But it's... or is it too obvious? Should we be actually 2017 about this?
We could do the...
And just count it down.
You wanted to do it for years. Let's just do it.
Okay, agreed. That's good.
There you go.
Right, so completely at random then, I've got... somebody who has contacted the Tommy Boyd Shrine with a nomination for the most irritating person in Britain is Lana HBL. And Lana HBL nominates Katie Price. What do we think about that? Is she irritating, Nikki?
Personally, she doesn't bother me because I've met her and I think she's a very misunderstood woman.
Okay.
I think it's all front with her. Okay. It's all bravado. And I think she's actually a really sweet girl underneath it all. And she's actually quite insecure. Okay. And I see a lot of her in me.
Okay.
So actually, I know, you know, she's always out there and selling this and selling that. But I think underneath it all, she's a nice girl.
No, well,
but I know a lot of people, she can't bear her.
Okay, well, that's...
What's your feelings on her?
My feelings are contaminated by the fact that when my wife worked at a youth club in Moulscombe, she got to know Katie Price's mum extremely well. And so that's an unfair advantage for me in saying that I completely agree with you, actually.
Oh.
Katie Price. So, Kath's a final adjudicator on the top 20. So you're happy for Katie
yeah,
Price
I think,
not to be on the list?
Yeah, I was definitely team Katie and not team Andre.
Pete.
Mm. Now, okay. Andre is one we could discuss.
Absolutely.
Andre is on the list. Andre has been nominated by Fiona Paris, who is a great friend of everything that we do. Peter Andre, I'm afraid I don't know enough about this lug.
I don't know. He's a bit sort of nothing, isn't he? I don't know. He wasn't a great singer in my book. I never thought he was good looking. He's Mr. Nice. Doesn't irritate me, but... I don't think he's strong enough to go on the irritating list.
Kath, because
I find him incredibly oily. I think he's awful.
Oily?
Mm.
Is oily irritating?
Yeah.
Do you turn the television off when he comes
on? I do.
Do you watch it? Because sometimes we like to be irritated. I watch a lot of Rick Stein.
Now, he's got a problem. You've got a real problem with him, haven't you?
Because I find him really irritating.
But what irritates you about him? Because he doesn't worry me.
He uses the first person pronoun 3 times in every sentence. And if you're going around a market, okay, in Provence, and it's a fantastic market, all you need to say is, this is a fantastic market, but what would you expect in Provence? But no, not Rick. Rick will say... I always find when I'm going round a market in France that I enjoy looking at many of the things that I am going to cook later.
Me, me, me.
Oh, I.
Mm.
So then I find myself totally distracted and I start counting the eyes. So my wife will come in with a cup of coffee and she'll go, what's this noise you're making? And I'm going, bzz, bzz, bzz. And what I'm doing is going bzz every time Rick Stein goes, oi. Because he's Cornish, or at least he says he's Cornish, so it's oi. So then, once you've noticed that...
It grates. doesn't
irritating.
It?
Irritating.
Yeah.
You know, there's a theory about why people irritate.
No.
The psychological theory is that we are everything we find irritating in other people.
Ooh.
And actually, it's about what you worry that you do that's annoying.
Mm, not sure about that.
No. I'm going to have to dwell on that. Do we need to sell some products here and do a bit of commercial advertising?
We can do.
Shall we? That'll be a perfect opportunity for me to share with the listener news about things that we can spend our money on and at the same time cogitate carefully on Kath's little epigrammatical compurgation right there. This is Talk Radio.
The Tommy Boyd Radio Experiment.
Tommy Boyd on Talk Radio.
Let's take our first call of the evening and we'll go to Birmingham and say good evening to Alan.
Evening, Tommy.
Inevitably, it says here. Hello, Alan.
First question, where's Ian?
I can't say, can I? I mean, I know, but you're not supposed to say where people are when they're having some R&R because you just don't know, do you? Do you see what I'm saying?
Well, I've got two questions for you. First of all, is the Human Zoo going to be making a comeback tonight or tomorrow?
Is?
The Human Zoo.
No.
And secondly, irritating people.
Yes.
I suggested Mr. Mallet.
Yes, I'm afraid he's on everybody's list, which makes the whole thing sound a little bit rigged, because it's quite well known that he was just as irritating off-air as he is on-air.
Yeah, what wrong if me when he's come on Whack-A-Day? When I was a kid, I used to enjoy it, but now I'm 37, I'm looking back on YouTube, and it's so annoying!
Yeah, I know.
Is he like that in real life?
Yeah.
All the time?
Yeah.
God, that would be irritating.
I did have a word with him.
Did you?
Well, you see, although I come across as being nice and shiny, I'm from Felton.
Mm. Don't mess with the Boyd.
The only time I've ever done it in a professional environment, but I did ask somebody just to tone it down. And it worked.
Interesting.
It'll be in my autobiography. Ooh. Yes. Alan, thank you for your call, thank you for your loyalty, and thank you for your inquisitiveness. The Human Zoo is a format that we won't be using this evening, although it works almost as well as people who remember it. We're talking about...
So is Mr. Mallet going on to our top 20 of
I'm
irritating celebs?
He has to, because he has been nominated by... Let me just take a look through the list here. He's nominated 3 times out of the 100 or so nominations that we've had, so I can't really stop him going on to the list. But I'd like to put Rick Stein on the list. Kath gets the final say. I'm getting her working this evening because she has to move across the control room. Can you not get your microphone under your gob?
No, look.
It doesn't work.
They've not really
well, cozy
designed
up to
this.
Sam. No, okay.
I'm sitting on Sam's lap.
Can Rick Stein go on the final 20, or do you want to just...
Can we reserve judgment?
Yep.
Because there are some absolute beauties coming up that I think will be a lot more cut and dry.
We'll put him on the reserve list.
I think we should.
Mm.
Did I mention why we're talking about the most irritating person?
No, you didn't. No.
Either 10 years ago this week or 20 years ago this week, I think it's 20 years ago this week, the first directory of the most irritating people in the country was published. The internet at the moment seems to think it was 10 years ago, but I'm pretty certain it was 20 years ago because I was number 2. And I was really proud of that.
I bet you were. No, I bet you were a little bit peeved that you weren't number one.
That was irritating.
Yes.
Number one was Mick Hucknall.
Ooh, yes.
I can't for the life of me remember why people found him irritating. Bono is on the list. Or is it Bono?
Bono.
I don't care or know.
No.
So he's on the list.
Yeah, Mick Hucknall. Indifferent to him, really. Maybe it's a ginger thing.
That would be so unfair.
I know. That's so wrong. But that's maybe it. I don't know.
David Flair is somebody who has been to the website that's been trawling for irritating people on our behalf. Thank you to the webmeisters who've set this up. David Flair has nominated Sting, since we're in that ballpark
Smug.
Of irritating rock and roll pop people.
Mm.
So we've got...
I don't like him. Smug.
No, you don't like Sting?
Sting, smug.
Is he really irritating, though? How can you... What's irritating about him?
He's just always so sort of...
Serious?
No, yeah, well, he's serious. He's
pompous.
Boring.
Pompous. Pompous.
That's the word I'm looking for. Pompous.
Yeah. Is he more pompous than Bono?
I think he is, definitely. Yeah, I don't have a problem with Bono.
Which one of them is it that I read in Private Eye was doing a concert in America, and one of the themes was going to be Save the Planet, but he discovered that his lucky cowboy hat that he always wears on stage, he had left behind in one of the rooms of his mansion. So he had his own personal jumbo jet, he owns a jumbo jet, fly all the way back to Warwickshire to collect his cowboy hat and bring it to the stadium. I'm guessing that's not Sting, because he doesn't wear a cowboy hat.
No, I was just thinking he doesn't wear it. But then, does Bono?
Is this story a Bono story? Does it ring anybody's bells? No.
Well, whoever it wasn't particularly green, was it?
I don't find any of these guys irritating, because I don't hear them talking often enough. They sing. I don't care about them. What's this song that's been the most streamed song ever? Have you heard about this, Nikki?
No.
Since we're on the subject of rock music? Kath, as usual, knows everything.
Is it Despacito?
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Any good?
I quite like it.
I quite like that song, yeah.
You do know it?
Yeah, it's a Bieber one.
Yes.
Yeah.
Why has it been streamed more than any song in the history of the internet?
It's one of those sort of catchy Latino summertime hits, isn't it?
Yeah. I didn't know it had been streamed as much as that, though.
4.5 million? Billion? 4.5 billion?
It's a good song, but it's not worth that.
I saw a little bit of the video because it was a news item. God. It's a news item. And I saw lots of attractive-looking young people in it. That helps, doesn't it?
We see anything with Bieber in, you're going to get so many hits, aren't you?
Bieber?
Justin Bieber.
Is he in it?
Yeah.
I don't know about any of these things.
Yeah.
I'm not allowed to, you see, because I've got children of that age whereby it is essential that the parent knows nothing about these things. If I were to know about these things, children of that age would be offended.
Cringe. They would be cringing.
It's almost as though you looked into their soul, you know? They have to own something. They don't even own their own bedrooms. You get to go in and tidy up. They own nothing except their culture. And I think we owe it to them to let them have that culture and to pretend that we don't know who Justin Bieber is. Is Justin Bieber irritating?
Not to me, no.
Not to you? Kath thinks he is. We could have a fight on our hands. I like this.
He is, but he's of the age where you're supposed to be, and he's also incredibly rich.
I think he redeemed himself at the Manchester concert, because until that point I wasn't that keen on him, but he came on that Manchester concert and I thought he was good on that, and I changed my opinion of him.
We're not doing very well here. We haven't got any...
Oh, don't worry. I've got so many people I could suggest.
Well, we need to start building a top 20,
okay,
but in no particular order. Before the end of this evening, we'll have 20 nominations for the most irritating celebrity in Britain at the moment. And then tomorrow, one way or another, we'll count down to it. If you have a nomination of your own, please get in touch.
Could I offer Nicola Sturgeon?
Oh, God, yes.
That woman.
But only quite recently, I think. She's been a breath of fresh air. You're talking about the Scottish Independence Lady, the SNP.
I am indeed, yes.
Leader of the SNP, yeah, yeah.
She would be near the top of my list, that woman.
Do the contact details for me, Nikki.
Yep, OK, so we want to hear from you about who irritates you. You can give us a call, 0344 499 1000. You can text TALK or you can tweet us at TALK Radio.
It's Tommy Boyd, Nikki Kegg-Shevlin, Kath and Sam is TALK Radio.
Across the UK, online and on DAB.
Tommy Boyd on TALK Radio.
Mark Buckley has got in touch and nominated Graham Norton, Corden and Lily Allen. Graham Norton is a terrific performer. And I think he's worth every penny of his 800.
I absolutely love Graham Norton.
Okay.
I think he's brilliant.
No, Graham Norton's obviously not going to make it onto the list. Although, as we sit here at TALK Radio this evening, I have to tell you, he owes me 60 quid.
I knew you were going to say that story.
He owes me 60 quid, Graham Norton. And what am I going to do? Am I ever going to get it back?
Never.
And it's actually not irritating because I'd only waste the 60 quid on women and alcohol.
Again.
And I've got a story, which is about the fact that Graham Norton got me a parking ticket And I had to cough up them 60 quid myself.
He's not even aware that he owes you 60 quid.
It's not technically him, it's his production company.
Exactly.
Yeah. James Corden, I still find him a breath of fresh air.
I think he's brilliant.
Lily Allen, I get confused.
Good singer in her time, but...
She's just had a hit, hasn't she, with something?
I don't
do
know
you
she's...
know the song?
Not sure.
No, I don't think we can put
Lily
Allen.
I found her a bit irritating when she's trying to do her own fashion line and everything, but they all try to do that, don't they? Who else have we got?
I've got a lot of... John Beardshaw has also nominated James Corden. Ant and Dec. They're not
irritating. You can't knock Ant and Dec. They're harmless.
They're too nice. You'd have them in the living room,
exactly.
Wouldn't you? And you know, Ed Sheeran, John Beardshaw nominates.
Not irritating.
It's not, is it?
No.
I think some people haven't
quite dull.
Got... Yeah. But that's the new glam, isn't it, dull?
Yeah.
Isn't it?
Yeah.
Wasn't the bloke who won, what's the talent show competition?
X Factor. Yeah.
Before him, just as dull.
There's so many of them that have been dull over the years. They have good voices.
You have to be a kid next door to get on nowadays.
Yes, yeah.
Lee Francis. Does anybody know who Lee Francis is? I probably should. John Beardshaw's nominated Lee, L-E-I-G-H Francis. Can't be that irritating if we don't know who he is.
I was going to say, I don't know who that is at all.
Keith Lemon.
No. Yes. Uh-huh. I switch over. I have to switch over.
Yeah.
I can't bear if he's on an advert, even if it's a trailer for his programme. I watch none of his programmes. He irritates me.
I walk hurriedly past the Carphone warehouse where I live because there is a cutout of Keith Lemon.
I'm sitting here with clenched fists. That's how much he irritates
me. But surely that's what he's trying to do. He's making himself... he's carving out an identity for himself and a great career. He must be rolling in it. He must make Chris Evans look underpaid.
I get it, but he still irritates me. Oh.
But that's what he's trying to do. So...
It's working, yeah. He's being successful.
See,
but...
when I was number two on the all-time... irritating list after Mick Hucknall, it was because I was working on a radio show that was designed, carefully made, believe it or not, to be irritating. That was the whole point. So really, I shouldn't
have
been
there. Got people listening.
Yeah, so I'm not sure. I'm going to let Kath decide whether... She won't tell us now because she's gradually building her final 20.
Please put him on there, please.
Yes or no, Kath, Keith Lemon. She's giving it a
she's
lot of
pondering
thought.
It, isn't she?
He's designed to be annoying,
yes,
isn't he? He's...
Yes. So therefore, we should thwart him by not putting him on the list.
Yeah, it's what he wants, isn't it?
It's what he wants. So no.
But he's too good at it then, because it works.
Matt McCauley says you've forgotten the complete winker, Nick Grimshaw. Is he a wink? Is he irritating?
No, not to me.
Not to you?
No, I don't have a problem with him.
Well, Cass, hands went up with, I thought, delight at the notion that Grimshaw might get on the list.
I find him somewhat trying.
Somewhat trying.
You see, that's not irritating enough, no. Is it? It doesn't make you like Lemon does.
Somewhat trying is civil service speak for irritating.
I'm trying to be nice.
Understood. Is that because you might have to work with him?
I was going to say that.
You never know.
You never know, do you?
Unlikely. I don't think they'll...
Well... Yeah, you're on the way up. You'll be meeting him on the way down by the sounds of it. But anyway, I don't know. I'm not sure whether I'd be pushing hard for Nick Grimshaw.
No, I don't think...
No,
not top 20. Definitely not top 20.
Now, Darren Gibbs has contacted and has a number of suggestions. I nearly said that. I nearly said suggestions then. Did you notice? He says, David Walliams. Is he irritating now that he's not funny?
No. I like him.
Everyone from Gogglebox... Gibbs says, Darren, sorry, says.
Well, I used to really like that programme when it first came on. It was quite entertaining, but it has got really sort of monotonous because, you know what it's all about now, don't you? Mm. And they think they are big stars, some of the people on there now, just for sitting watching television.
Yes.
With it being filmed watching television. So
this is the
still
thing
not
now.
Strong enough, though, to go in the top 20, I don't think.
I'll tell you what's irritating is that I read today that the camera person on Love Island... has been briefly glimpsed. Everybody apparently who watches Love Island, and I was watching Piers Morgan and Susanna Reid do a very serious, and sometimes they do some very, very good interviews early morning on GMTV. They're not allowed to do anything.
The 6 to 7 hour.
Journalistic calibre after about 6:45.
No.
You know, when the chain smokers start watching. Susanna Reid betrayed that she enjoys love interest.
She loves it, yes.
You're a fine woman, by the way, Susanna Reid. I think most men, I nearly said most men would, but what I meant by that was most men can see something behind the eyes there in Susanna Reid. But anyway, Love Island has a camera person called Benny, and he's been glimpsed. And this is a news item. Because apparently he's quite good looking or something.
Oh, for goodness
sake. Is that you haven't seen?
I haven't started watching Love Island because I was watching Big Brother.
Okay.
I thought I cannot spend all my life watching rubbish television like that.
Well, I find things irritating as well. That Welsh men who are determinedly Welsh and make a big thing of it, I find that irritating. Darren Gibbs has nominated Richard Osman as irritating.
Not particularly.
Not, that bothered,
not particularly.
No, I don't think
he's got
so.
Great knowledge. He's an okay presenter.
Fulham supporter.
Yes. Sussex lad.
6 foot Where five. Is he six foot five or 6 foot eight or something?
Oh, yeah, he's very tall. I think he's 6'8".
That's irritating.
Why is that irritating? Because you'll want to be 6 foot eight.
Well, I read a book about psychology in which it said that not only do men 6 foot four and over, well, not only are they more likely to get the job, right? Listen to this bit. This is almost impossible to believe. The man who comes in after them, next, comes across as better than he would have done if he'd come in after a interviewee who was 5 foot two than he does if he comes in after a man who's more than 6 foot four.
What a load of rubbish.
It's tested, mate. You can't, you know.
Never.
Burbank.
No.
Yeah, UCLA. I made that last bit up. And I've got two mates who both are 6 foot four plus, and they've got a little company, and they call themselves Tall Order, not surprisingly. And they say they get a lot of work out of simply standing up at the end of the conversation and people going, yeah, you got the job, you got the job, you got the job.
I do like a tall man.
There you are, you see.
I married one.
How tall is he?
6'3".
6'3". Yeah, you see, 6'3 is about right. Nice. Mind you, these tennis players are getting ridiculous.
They are. The women, good players are about 6 foot, aren't they?
They are, and they're getting taller and taller. Three of the semi-finalists in the men's were 6'6".
Yeah.
And there's this new guy who's taller than Karlovic. He's an American called Rory Opelka. And he's 7'1" and growing. He's only 17.
What sort of serve is he going to have?
Precisely. He doesn't have to bother, does he?
Oh, that's boring, though,
isn't
it?
He just leans across the net and smashes it.
Yeah, just taps it over.
And Darren also nominates Eamon Holmes. And Eamon Holmes has had more than one nomination from the website.
I used to so dislike Eamon Holmes, but for some reason he's won me round. And I'm not sure whether it's since he's been married to Ruth. I'm not sure, but he's not on my list anymore. Whereas about 5 years ago, I think Eamon Holmes would have been up there.
Well, Lana HBL has also nominated Eamon Holmes, so he's come up twice out of about the 100 or so.
Mm-hmm.
So you would think he's asking to go into a top 20, but Kath has the final say. So I'll tell you what we'll do. We'll remind ourselves how you can contact the programme. I can see that Paul and Ken are standing by to talk to us on the lines. That's good. We haven't had any tweets yet. I don't know why. So, Nikki, just those details.
OK, well, if you want to tweet, it's at Talk Radio. If you want to text, text Talk and your message to 87222. Text costs 25p in your standard network rate. Or if you want to give us a call and tell us about that person that gets right up your nose, it's 0344 499 1000.
And when we come back, we're going to be discussing, is he irritating Jeremy Clarkson?
The Tommy Boyd Radio Experiment.
Tommy Boyd on Talk Radio.
Largely giving the show over this evening, standing in for Ian, to people who are irritating. I've got the word out amongst friends of the show and the station, and we've got quite a few interesting nominations here. I've made a mistake in saying that we haven't had any tweets. All it is I don't know how to make my screen work, so I'm going to get Kath shortly to do the right thing by people who've been kind enough to tweet in. But I said just before those ads, what have you, that we would talk about Jeremy Clarkson, irritating or not. I still think he's
100% irritating. Cannot bear him. Have to turn over when he's on, even again if it's an advert. He's arrogant. He loves himself.
He's funny. He's self-deprecating. He's self-parodying. It's
he's
a rich,
funny.
Powerful act. He's a good journalist. He's an excellent presenter.
He's not funny.
He holds your attention. You never know what he's going to say next, and that's exciting and interesting. And to have made so much money and so much success for those other two guys on the show whose names I can't even remember, the man is I would kneel and touch the hem of his raiment if he were to pass by.
Would you like to go out for a drink with him?
I would!
Would you? You say, oh, I can't think of anything worse.
Do you know, there's the obverse of what we're talking about this evening. Which celebrity would you most like to go out and have a drink with?
Drink with.
Okay, so I don't... Kath, are we getting Jeremy Clarkson anywhere near the shortlist?
Well, he'd be on it if it was just down to me, but you
same
have
here,
made
you
quite... A, maybe it's a woman thing. I just
you get the final say.
Well, he's on then.
And we do have we have got some... A tweet has flooded in.
No, we've got loads. Right now. Here's my distance vision. Keith Lemon.
Yes.
We've already mentioned. Gary Barlow, says Michael Kershaw.
You can't knock Gary Barlow. He's like a national treasure.
He is a fuzzy old bear, isn't he?
Yes.
I've got Gary Barlow on somebody else's list.
No, I can't. He's nothing irritating about him.
Two mentions, guys.
No.
Oh, here's one. Here's one everyone will agree on. This is from Michael Kershaw. Jeremy Kyle. Oh, dear.
Yes, he is irritating. There's something that's not really quite engaging about the way he presents the programme up there all the time going on. Let's take some calls completely at random, don't know what they're going to say. Is yesterday how he introduced a person asking him whether he thought he earned too much money.
You're talking about Jeremy Vine. We said Jeremy Kyle. Completely different.
Who's he?
The guy on the... On ITV every morning with lots of people who hate each other and shout a lot and swear a lot.
DNA results.
Right. Well, I feel a little bit old, but at the same time, very flattered that you knew I was doing Jeremy Vine.
Yes.
Absolutely.
So that's a sort of a...
So we now know that you can't stand Jeremy Vine.
Jeremy Kyle.
I find him all right.
He's not irritating.
No.
It's
oh, come on.
No, he's not.
Oh, he's awful.
The people on his show are irritating.
That's it.
But
that's what it is.
Do they get paid to go on there and bear their souls?
No. Do you want to know how the whole thing works?
Go on.
Really?
Mm.
Well, I'm not sure if I can say.
Don't they get a nice sort of weekend down in London to
they
start
don't get
with
paid.
To entice them down?
No, they don't get paid. They get to be on television. Now, what I'm going to tell you, I'm going to populate this short story with lots of allegedlies, all right?
Okay.
I don't know that this is a fact, but I've been told... by somebody who once worked on the programme, the following things. And again, it could have been the drink talking, but this is what they said. In order to get people to the phone... Oh, I don't know if I can say this, really, because it's actually quite scurrilous.
Oh, come on, you can't start a story like this.
I know, it's good, isn't it?
That's irritating.
They don't pay people, but what they do now is when they come down to London to make the programme, they tend to put them in special hotel rooms where there are... as few things as possible that can be stolen because
I know what you're saying.
One family actually made off with the bed.
What? They put that under their coat.
They dismantled.
No.
They had everything. They had the lights off the wall. They had the paintings. They had the furniture. And they'd obviously bought a Philips because they dismantled the bed and got it out.
Incredible.
Yeah.
You've got to sort of pat them on the back for doing that, really.
Well, this is what... I'm going to get into trouble for this, but I don't care. What I was told is that this is how they go about sometimes getting... people to come onto the programme. They put adverts in certain little magazines that you tend to see in the newsagents for about 25 pence, which has things on it like I married my mother's sister's
dog.
Son because of the way he plays the banjo.
Yeah.
That sort of thing. They put ads in the back of those saying, are you overweight? Would you like to lose weight free of charge?
Oh.
And then they ring up that number. And the people who are waiting for the phone call go, oh, yes, we can help you there. But could you just tell us a little bit about yourself? Because it turns out that a great many of the people who respond to those adverts, which is have your tattoo removed for free, you know, that lot. Right. Have your teeth done for free, you know, you want implants. Get talking quite quickly about the fact that there's a lot of shit going on around them in their lives. And that's when they hit them up with another phone call saying, would you like to come on the Jeremy Carr programme?
We think
you'd
be perfect.
Be really, really famous. And Jeremy will agree with everything. I don't know about that last bit. Jeremy will agree with everything you say. But I don't think they say you're going to fail a lie detector test or whatever is going to happen to you. So does that make sense? Have I enlightened anybody? Yeah, does anybody believe that's true, what I just said?
I can believe, I can actually believe an element of that,
If it's what a television programme does, not necessarily Jeremy Carr, it is quite a clever way of getting to the kinds of members of the public that you want to get
to. But I bet there are a lot of people that would just jump at the chance to go and wash their dirty laundry in public.
Yes.
Wouldn't they?
There's that.
Because they don't realise.
I can't resist it if it's on. I'll watch 10 minutes of it any time you like.
It is fascinating television. It's like watching being at a zoo, isn't it, really?
I used to watch it for entertainment purposes, but the older I've got, the more I realise that you're watching other people's pain, aren't you, really? And yes, they might have gone on in tracksuit bottoms and not put their teeth in, but still, it's very exploitative.
I wonder how much people are rehearsed, because when they...
Totally.
Let's bring Susan in, okay? And she, as she comes through the little archway, she's already...
She's always shouting...
Who are you to tell me that I done that? You're the one who... And I... Are they... Is that real? Or have they been told, get stuck in straight away, you know, don't hang about, don't wait for Jeremy to say, is he a liar? If you think he's lying, just say so as soon as you get up on the stage. You know that?
I love it when they have to bring the bouncer in and literally pull people apart, though.
Yes.
It is quite funny. It's quite entertaining. But Jeremy Carr, I think he handles it really well, because sometimes he just lays into them and tells them what for, doesn't he?
Is he anywhere near as good as the American guy who invented that kind of thing?
I wouldn't think
so. The opera guy,
Jerry Springer.
Springer. Is he as good as Jerry Springer?
No, because Jerry Springer had a charm, didn't he? And a wisdom to him. Whereas you kind of get the feeling with Jeremy Carr, he just wants to shout at them.
And I like the thing that Jeremy used to do at the end of the show where he'd wrap the whole thing up.
The final thoughts.
And he'd sit there with his baseball bat. Never explain why he had a baseball bat. Well, there you go. Turns out that if you commit adultery, you better keep it to yourself. I'm Jerry Springer.
Brilliant.
Be safe. I'm doing some good impressions this evening.
You are.
I don't mind telling you.
Yeah.
Who'd you want?
Right. I would like you to do...
I'll tell you what, I'll do a good one.
Alan Carr.
Oh, that's too easy.
Go on, then.
I'll tell you a good one. I'm doing a lot now. The ITV commentator who was on the air when Manchester City won the Premier League with the last kick of the game. Because the way he does, Aguero! Is just, you'll never see anything like it again. It's a great bit of commentary. Other nominations for the most irritating person in Britain today. We have, let's have a look. Oh, Vanessa Feltz has got two nominations from the 100 that we've had sent in by members of the public.
Yeah, fairly irritating.
On £350,000 a year, definitely irritating. Would she be irritating if she was only on 30,000?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. What's irritating about Vanessa?
Just too gobby.
Gobby. A great way of putting it. Gobby. Kath, she's on the list. Okay, that's excellent. Maybe we should take a quick call. I'm not sure if Ken or Paul is up next. I'll get advice from the experts next door. Is it Ken or is it Paul? Ken.
Hello.
Good evening, Ken.
Good evening, Tommy. My suggestion is Jeremy Corbyn and a close second, Ken Livingston. The reason I would put them forward is this, that I believe they both pretend to be nice, tolerant people, but they actually deceive people. I believe they have got underlying desires and agendas which are very dangerous. They're connected to communism, anti-Christ and anti-Israel mindset. I believe they're both very dangerous politicians, and when I listen to them, they annoy me and make me feel a little bit angry. That's what irritate means, to make somebody annoyed or a little bit angry. Mm. And I just have to just disregard them because I don't want to get angry.
So if you think that Jeremy Corbyn is dangerous,
yes.
How would you describe, say, Hitler?
Oh, extremely dangerous.
Well, that's the same as Jeremy Corbyn.
Oh, no. At the moment, Jeremy Corbyn has not proved himself to be a man like Hitler.
So Hitler's extremely dangerous, whereas Jeremy Corbyn is just dangerous.
At the moment. However, he has stood on platforms with Mr. Chowdhury and 10 other Muslims who spewed hatred against the nation of Israel. He's a sympathizer with Hezbollah and Hamas. He's anti-Israel. This is the danger. And I believe that if he becomes a PM...
I don't think you really understand the concept here, Ken, but thank you very much indeed for your call. I don't think you understand the concept. The concept we're talking about is irritating rather than somebody who is, in your view, and I think you said so I can repeat it, you said, Ken, that Jeremy Corbyn is only marginally less dangerous than Hitler, which, of course, is ridiculous. And in another context would be hilarious, but it's not. There's no way Jeremy Corbyn's irritating. I don't think that even David Cameron found Jeremy Corbyn irritating. In fact, one of the last things that Cameron said to Corbyn across the dispatch box when he was on his way out was that he was actually quite coming to like you. You're listening to Talk Radio. The search goes on for the most irritating celebrity in Britain.
Talk Radio.
So who is the most irritating celebrity in Britain today to be discussed? Joanna Lumley, Noel Edmonds, The Hamiltons, Mark Almond, Gary Barlow, Robbie Williams, Naga Mouskouri.
Across the UK, online and on DAB.
The Tommy Boyd Radio Experiment. For those about to talk, we salute you.
Tommy Boyd on Talk Radio.
It's not entirely the audio that I would like to introduce my gravitas-laden self. But there it is. We are in this hour of the programme continuing to chew over who are the most irritating people in Britain today. The question is whether we like them or not because they're irritating, and so they give us a moment of self-righteous indignation when they start plying their trade on television mainly, often on the radio as well. People in print, are they irritating? There's nobody on the list so far. People who write novels. Is there such a thing as an irritating novelist? Let's take a call. Paul is on the line from Stoke Pogis. What do you say, Paul?
Hi, how are you doing?
Surprisingly well is my answer to that question.
Honoured to speak to you again.
I get irritated by people who say that.
Okay, I apologise.
Thank you. Don't do it again.
Okay, I can think of three or four people that are annoying.
Excellent.
Famous people. Greg Wallace. The guy off MasterChef, yeah?
Annoying. Very annoying. That I'm with
very
you
annoying.
One. Yeah, very annoying. Very annoying.
What irritates him about, what, you know, irritates
he's
you?
He's nothing more than a flipping fruit and veg market stall holder, is he?
You see, I find the other one more irritating than Greg Wallace.
Yeah, John Turode.
He always says...
Because he can't pronounce pasta right, he pronounces it pasta.
And actually, you mentioning MasterChef, it just reminded me of the voiceover woman on that show.
Yeah,
she's
oh God.
Just got the most bizarre voice.
Yeah, it's almost like as bad as the voiceover person for Big Brother, isn't it?
Oh, I don't mind him, but her voice is like...
How did it go?
She goes, and they've put the put the oven on, and they've going to put the pasta into the boiling water. And it's just a voice. You can't imagine her at home going to the kids.
No,
kids,
okay,
can you
can
do
I
your homework?
Greg Wallace and MasterChef, yeah? He's totally bald head, and they do things on MasterChef that are experimental. When are they going to have one of the contestants fry an egg on Greg Wallace's bald head?
Everybody who does voiceover, for me, is irritating when they do their voiceover voice, because it's never the voice that they use when they're doing pieces to camera or interviewing people.
But this woman is particularly weird, voice.
Yeah, she's annoying. She's spooky. She's a bit creepy.
Yes, that's it. That's the word.
Yeah.
Good word, Paul.
Sandra will be back from Gatwick Airport in 45 minutes, and Dave hasn't even started to lay the patio.
Yeah.
You know, some of that just
saying,
she can be back. Nick who?
Nick Knowles.
Oh, I can't bear him either.
No, okay, you know he does quiz shows? He presents quiz shows?
Yeah.
Flipping appropriate for his name, Nick Gnomesall.
And he gets so many different shows, and I think surely there are other presenters out there better than him.
D-R-Y-S-O-S, what a load of rubbish.
Yeah, he's got to go on the list. Good shout, Paul.
And since he's grown his beard, don't he look like a flipping serial killer?
Oh, look, Paul. Do we dump that? No, just say, Paul, don't be ridiculous. I know you said look like, but, you know, we mustn't use any stereotypes, even those of psychopaths. Okay?
He looks like Charles Manson.
Yeah, I know, but even psychopaths have rights. And believe me, I know what I'm talking about. Paul, thank you very much indeed for your call and your nominations. I have to say it's a pretty damn good list for Paul right there. Yes. Yeah. The Greg Wallace, he is on the list. And
the voiceover woman for me.
And the voiceover
woman. Oh, and Nick Knowles has got to go on there.
Nick Knowles, but fair enough.
Kath gets the final say.
It's the irritating list, and tomorrow we will have a top 20 and we'll count down from 20 to 1. But at the moment we're just chewing on the field, really, aren't we?
We are indeed.
To Roy, who calls the show from Sevenoaks in Kent. Hello, Roy.
Oh, hi there, all right.
Yeah, you?
Yes, thank you. Yeah, very well, thank you.
And who irritates you?
Chris Evans.
Why?
I don't like him, and I think he earns too much money.
Is that what it's about? Is it about the money? Is it a jealousy thing, thinking, I could do that?
Well, it's not jealousy. I just don't really like him. And I don't really think that all the, over 15,000 licence fees should go to his salary.
Well, I break it down another way. See, I break it down like this, OK? He earns $2.5 million, yeah?
Two and a half mil, yeah.
OK. And he's on 5 days a week?
Is he? Yeah, I don't know.
And he does 3 hours?
Yeah.
Now, of that 3 hours, half is music, isn't it?
It's
probably,
so
yeah. Yeah.
And half the time he's talking, it's not him talking, it's the people in the studio and his guests and the news and all that sort of thing, yeah?
Yes.
So he talks for about 45 minutes a day.
Yes.
Okay. Now, I happen to have worked that out because I was driving along with nothing but my own thoughts for about an hour earlier today.
Right.
And I worked out in my head that he earns around about £2 a word.
£2 a word?
£2 a word.
Yeah. Yeah.
Now here's the thing. So if he says, hello, good morning and welcome to the show, he has earned what it takes an employee of Sports Direct 2 hours to earn.
Oh, that's so wrong.
Isn't it?
It's, oh, how can anybody justify that sort of money? I know, there's nurses out there, there's doctors out there that don't earn that sort of money. It's wrong.
Well, equally, I worked out, you're right, I worked out that he is paid, where did I work it out? Hold on. He gets paid £2 per word, okay? And I get paid here this evening £2, sorry, I get paid something like 7 pence a word, okay?
I was going to say you get paid £2.
No, I don't get paid...
For the whole show, yeah.
£2 for the whole show. What I'm saying is that I think Chris Evans in his niche is... perhaps the cleverest broadcaster we've ever had in his niche. And actually, I think he could do other things. I honestly think he's so good, he could present Newsnight and do it bloody well. He's a very, very... I don't know any other broadcaster who's able to be in the second. Not just the moment. Chris Evans recognises the second he's in, all the while that the red light is on, whether it's TV or radio. So he's a genius, but he's not 55 times more genius than I am.
So purely
in those terms, he's overpaid, or I'm underpaid.
Or Chris Evans' agent is the genius.
Yes, good point, Roy. Good point. Yeah.
Well, whoever managed to make Ginger Productions worth £90 million just to Chris Evans clearly was something of a genius. The other thing is, I was thinking mischievous thoughts driving along this evening. And one thought I had was, do you think you pay too much for your licence fee, Roy?
Yes. Yeah, I do, yeah.
Yeah, right.
Yeah.
One way to drive it down, can I say this, what I was saying in the production area earlier? If the broadcasting organisations are able to pay women and people from ethnic groups less okay?
Yeah.
Than white men.
Yeah.
Why don't we fire all the white men on air?
And then halve the price of the license.
Then it would halve the price of the license.
Genius.
Yes.
Yeah.
And
or
commercial companies, shareholders would welcome this because it would increase their profits.
Liking them and liking that idea.
So all we have to do is fire all the white men in broadcasting.
Yeah.
And it will actually make the world a better place and reduce overheads.
Perfect.
Easy.
Tommy, it's another idea.
Go on.
Yeah, another idea. If all the women and non-white males, yeah, if they just give half the licence fee instead of the full licence fee to the BBC. Or would they go to prison for that?
What's that going to gain them?
Do you know, something I heard some years ago that really disturbed me, because I was working at the BBC at the time. Do you know what was the most commonly committed crime amongst women who were in prison in this country?
I'm guessing, given the subject matter, probably non-payment of TV licence, is it?
Yes.
Yeah, that is quite shocking.
I don't know whether that's a fact. I heard it at the BBC.
Right.
And they were going around muttering it, saying there's something wrong here.
It yeah, there is something wrong here when you hear about the gender pay gap and then you hear it, that, you know, there's more women in prison for non-pay.
Yeah, I don't know, but assessing somebody's value in terms of the somebody's talent as a value and reflecting it in what they're paid is kind of tricky. Because let me just give you a stupid, for instance. In football, everyone accepts that the striker is paid more than the left back. Ask Ashley Cole. Right?
Yeah,
and,
yeah.
And everybody kind of accepts that that's right because the striker is more valuable to the team than a fullback.
But at the end of the day, footballers shouldn't be earning the sort of money they're earning anyway.
Yep, separate argument.
Yeah.
But you see my point.
Yeah, I do. Yeah,
is
yeah.
That, is Claudia Winkleman 4 times less talented than Chris Evans?
No.
No.
I think she's brilliant. She's
no,
funny.
She's more than 4 times less talented than Chris Evans.
Really?
Yes. She's talented. She's a fine woman. I like the look of her a lot and I think she's a good person. But Chris Evans is an extraordinary talent.
He is. I'll give you that. But she's worth her money, that girl. Mm-hmm. I like her. I think she's brilliant.
Isn't it more the fact that the licence fee is something that everybody has to pay by law if you own a television set?
Not if you own a television set, but if you are proven to be watching the BBC.
Yeah, and also if you've got a smartphone and you watch the BBC on it or whatever, yeah, isn't it that
I've never seen my TV license? Do you get
no,
one?
No, it's all done by email now. Isn't
it? I want to see my license. What does it look like? Has it got my picture on it?
It's a probably hasn't. Piece of paper.
Does it say date of DOB? You know, and like that, I'm entitled to drive a heavy goods television or a moped without passing my test, is it? I want to see my license. I bet it's got a nice lion rampant down one side and a sovereign.
If
I see it as being green.
I think it was pink.
If 10,000 people turn up and yeah. I demand to see their license,
yeah.
yeah, at the BBC headquarters, yeah, they might have a bit of a problem.
Yes. Right, I'm grateful for your call. Thank you for that. I just want to change the subject slightly. Which is, I'm going to ask Kath and Sam a question. Do you know, and I only found this out the other day, because I'm somebody who speaks to the receptionists in GP surgeries and treats them like human beings. Do you know, Kath, why prescriptions are in green ink? Have you noticed? They are, aren't they?
Are they?
What do you mean they're in green ink?
You mean
green paper?
Well, green, yeah, they're green. They're green.
Yeah.
Green.
Yes.
They are green. Everybody
yes.
knows that. You
yes.
know, you've never been prescribed anything, Kath?
Oh,
are you
yeah,
that
I know
healthy?
You mean, no. So they're, so, okay, I get you.
Yeah.
So, they're on green paper.
Yeah.
Yes.
I found out there was a reason.
Is that the medical colour?
You're closing in. You're a good journalist, aren't you?
Well, I'm just guessing.
You're closing in. Yeah, that's annoying.
Like scrubs are always green, aren't they?
Why is this?
Scrubs.
No, those outfits that they wear, like pyjamas, green.
More sort of turquoisey.
Mm.
Oh, yeah. Listen to this now.
But anyway, why are they green? I'm intrigued.
Oh, well, it has to do with who made the prescription. Because if you get a prescription from your dentist and it can happen, it's red.
Ah.
I love that noise.
Oh, okay.
I love that noise. I'm going home now. When you've had an you know that you've said something vaguely interesting. Yeah. But then again, I've never... I said to the person... I nearly said girl. She was a girl, but you can't say that. I said nearly said to the person in the white thing, have you ever had a prescription from a dentist? And she went, no.
I wonder what a prescription from a psychiatrist, what colour that would be.
A clinical psychiatrist.
Dark.
Yeah.
I wonder what colour it would be.
I'm going through some interesting experiences at the moment and referred myself to a clinical psychiatrist. And this is my credential. I will take this with me to my coffin. She went out and verified that what I'd said that I was dealing with was true because she said, at first I thought he was a fantasist.
Oh.
And they said, no, that is what he's having to manage at the moment. And she said, I've never heard anything like that.
Crikey.
That's what I'm saying. Yeah, I know.
So you astounded a psychiatrist.
Yeah, I know.
You should
I
get
felt
that framed.
So big. Yeah. I drove home whistling. not the EU Brexit song that Boris... What do you think Boris thinks they're whistling? You know, Boris said they can whistle.
Go whistle.
Yeah. And whoever it was came back with that really good reply, don't hear any whistling, just a clock ticking.
How beautiful.
That's great. A great line.
Yeah. We've got another call, but I can't see the name of the person because of my screen. Is it Jerry, who's on the line from Cheshire, is it, Jerry? Good evening.
Hello,
thanks.
Tommy.
Hello, Jerry.
I've got some nominations for you.
Excellent.
Steve Wright.
You'll find Steve Wright irritating. We are
it's
hunting,
swarming.
Just for people who've just arrived, we are looking for the most irritating people in Britain, and we're going to come up with a top 20 tomorrow, but we're taking nominations tonight, and Jerry says, Steve Wright, is he irritating?
He's smarmy. His jokes aren't funny. He loves himself. He's got pictures of himself up on the wall in his house. He's just so irritating. There's no Steve people. They come waves. They had Steve Pence, and he went... Ian Wright, he went, they come waves. They just seem to love them, but they just get irritating. They're on too much.
Yeah, Steve Wright's been with us since 1487, hasn't he? That's true. But that's because he's good at what he does. I think his show is tidy. Sometimes it's too tidy. I'd like it to creak at the seams a little bit sometimes.
Loosen up a bit, yeah.
Yeah. But it's a tidy show. And sometimes the laughter in the studio, it doesn't sound as though it's entirely appropriate. You hear people in the background just go, ha, 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 ha.
Let's bring back Frank Boff.
Frank Boff?
God, that's going a blast from the past. Where did that come from?
Sorry, are you saying he's irritating, Jerry?
No, he's a Stoke lad. He comes from Stoke-on-Trent. I come from Stoke-on-Trent. I like seeing back on tally.
That doesn't make him irritating.
No, I like him. He's somebody who likes to go out for a meal with.
I'll tell you what's irritating. Bet365 is based in Stoke.
Yeah.
I do find Ray, when he's advertising, sometimes a bit irritating. At any time of the day and night, I can have a bet, can't I?
Every ad break between
and
football games.
Yeah, he's on. I responsibly.
He's at the odds.
All right. Yeah.
So now, get yourself in debt.
Have a bit of that. Whoa, my son.
Have no money tomorrow.
Leave it out. All right, I think I'll present the rest of the programme.
You're into your impressions tonight, aren't you?
Doing it, yeah. I can't really get down there with Ray Winston.
No, you're not.
But I can. I'm from Feltham, so I can be a bit thuggish. All right, Jerry, thanks for your call, mate.
Bye.
Nice talking to you.
I don't think you sound anything like Ray Winston.
No,
that was
rubbish.
A poor one.
That's rubbish. It was
some of
awful.
The other ones have been better tonight.
Awful. Awful.
Awful.
So, we've had Greg...
Greg
What's
Wallace.
His face nominated, and I think I'm
Timmy
hoping,
Mallett.
Timmy Mallett. I'm hoping I'm just going to get a nod from Kath, who gets the final say. And yes, I think Greg Wallace will probably be in the 20, along with Timmy Mallett, who I think everybody is pretty well satisfied. Timmy Mallett will be there. So we've got about three or four definite nominations so far. Any on Twitter, Kath?
Yeah, let's have a look. Right. Obviously, the most irritating person in Britain is Theresa May, who sounds like she's... Hang on. I have no idea. I don't think we should continue that, but she sounds like, yeah, he's complaining about her voice.
Ah, yeah,
and I
okay.
think it could be something that could be construed as something rather rude.
Okay, right, fine. Well, nicely live edited there.
Richard Madeley is another one that's been suggested. That one I definitely go with.
I would as well.
When he's not being real, yeah. When he's doing his... I'm broadcasting now. I think anybody who does that...
He's cheesy, isn't
he? I'm broadcasting
yeah,
now.
Yeah, he's so cheesy.
People who would be tempted if they were on music radio to actually say, there you go.
Yes.
I hate there you
yes,
go.
Exactly.
Well, there you go.
How about Russell Brand, Deaf, suggests? I like him.
He's different, isn't he? And again, he's using what he's...
Yeah.
He's
exactly.
using the irritability factor mm-hmm. to a good extent. It amuses us.
Yeah, I like it. He doesn't irritate me, no.
Do people who are gay but not camp find the representation of gay as being sometimes that kind of camp a bit offensive?
Mm, I would not think so, yeah.
Not so much in the hands of a very skillful broadcaster like Alan Carr, but somebody who really just peddles Middlesex and Capricorn.
Well, that's the criticism I've heard of David Walliams before.
Okay.
Of him playing at it.
Yeah.
Yes. Alrighty. Since we're taking tweets, and thank you to everybody who is tweeting and callers too, and we're getting some calls lined up, which is nice, and we will get to everybody. Nikki, a reminder of our contact details.
Yeah, if you want to get in touch, tell us who really, really irritates you. It's 0344 499 1000, or you can text us. Text TALK in your message to 87222, or you can tweet at TALK Radio.
Who's irritating?
Across the UK, online and on DAB.
Tommy Boyd on TALK Radio.
So, one name that's just come up in conversation that isn't on anybody else's shortlist, but we're going to run with it and talk about it, not now but in a moment, is Prince Philip, who, when he gets to be 100, and we all hope he does, will be the tallest 100-year-old man ever. Because most men, when they get to 100, are tiny. They're 5'2",
well,
aren't they?
Well, everybody shrinks, don't they? But he is so upright,
if you're
isn't
built
he?
Like a jockey, you just go on forever, don't you?
Yeah.
You know, and you eat nothing but air. But he's a big lad, and he's... as you say, he's active and everything, but he's big, broad shoulders, and he's 6'2", and he's, what is he, 95.
Amazing.
Okay, let's take another call. I think we're off to, is it another Jerry in Glasgow this time? Hey, Jerry.
Hi, good evening, people. Hiya.
Hey.
Yeah, irritating people. You were already in the MasterChef kitchen, and agree with your colleague there that the girl who does the commentary for, or the voiceover for MasterChef, is called India Fisher, and I've actually written or emailed the BBC saying that her delivery is just so horrific. I mean, it's horrible. There's no sort of variance in it, and she's just horrible to listen to. And they really should get somebody who's, you know, perhaps make it into a slightly comedy type thing, maybe a Rob Brydon or Arthur Smith to do that. Oh, here we go. She's doing some venison in the frying pan. You know, that kind of stuff. You know,
yeah,
that would be better than her.
Yeah. But the main reason that I'm mentioning MasterChef is the person on it, he's not on it every week, but he's on it a lot of the time, is one of the critics, and he's an odious character called William Sitwell. Now, I don't know what it is about these critics. I mean, what do they know that we wouldn't be able to achieve in a few weeks? I mean, I know what tastes grainy, what tastes sour, acidic, bitter, sharp, etc. But these guys walk in as if they're the Grimaldi family, and they sit down and they rip apart these, either the celebrity chef that's, you know, like Louise Minchin or whoever, or somebody from EastEnders, or the professionals or whatever.
The usual suspects.
Yeah, he's just, I mean, he looks like Hugh Grant with Ronnie Barker specs, and he's just...
You are so right, Jerry, because they are. They say things, and you think, it's personal taste a lot of the time, isn't it? Literally personal taste. And what makes them a critic? And I know exactly the guy you're talking about. He is odious. That's a great use of that word, odious.
Yeah, and he's on it all the time, and sometimes... And it's like, don't let them, you need to apologise to him because you've been 10 minutes too long in the kitchen. And they're looking at their watch and he's crossing his legs. And I'm thinking, who is this guy? He's just a critic who writes a column in one of the magazines. And I don't know if he cooks himself, I really don't. But He's just the most obnoxious, odious creep that I think on the television, and certainly India Fisher, they need to do something. But I mean, I've actually got addicted to MasterChef. I don't cook myself, but I find the snobbery and just fascinating.
Yeah, you know, it's really interesting what you're saying there, because I fully agree with you. Somebody once said of John McCririck that sometimes it's quite nice to see on television and watch and listen to on television the kind of people that you hope you'll never meet in real life.
McCrurick being one of them.
Yeah. Oh. Yeah.
Especially when you see him in his long underpants on Celebrity Big Brother. I mean,
well,
really
I thought
great.
He manipulated that quite well, his quest for orange juice. People wanted to keep him on because he was so irritating.
That was a clever ploy, yeah.
Jerry, I'm really grateful to you for your call. It's been refreshing. Right. Thank you.
Thank you, sir. Bye-bye.
Not in the slightest bit irritating. So, who have we got? I want to discuss Joanna Lumley at this point.
How can you even have her on your list?
It's very irritating.
No.
She is now.
No.
Why? Why? Well, she was fantastic and absolutely fabulous. No doubt about that. She was very average in the Avengers. But I'm not really talking about that. I'm talking about her excursions into the real world of current affairs and politics, where, she's just a well-spoken numbnut.
She's a national treasure.
Absolutely not. Not of mine at all. No.
That is something that irritates me. Just because you are an actor or a, you know, broadcaster of some sort, you get to go on all these lovely jollies. You know, she's doing this one at the moment all around India. And I think, oh, she's so lucky.
And what are we learning from
her? Yeah, exactly.
So she's got a jolly nice voice, hasn't she? And she looks jolly nice as well.
She looks amazing.
She's a fine looking woman. But, you know, some of the positions that she takes, some of the ways in which she intrudes herself into the world of politics and current affairs.
What about the Gurkhas?
Yeah, well, the Gurkhas are a case in point. Why are the Gurkhas so revered by the British military?
Because they were so, you know, part of our helping us in the wars.
But do what?
I don't know.
Well, when India was British and there were concerns, you can look this up, and there were concerns that India bordered China and that China might have a problem with a European country running one of their neighbours, the British decided that what they would do was put a barrier down between India and China. And the place that they thought would be a good idea to not be Chinese anymore, but be sort of in the middle, was a place called Tibet. And Tibet is not, as most people think, about the size of the Isle of Wight. I think it's something like the fourth or fifth biggest country on earth. So it could look after itself.
Yeah.
The British decided that they would interfere with the internal politics of this Chinese province, Tibet. And that interference took the form, according to all the sources that I have read, of an unspeakable intervention by the Gurkhas. And when I say unspeakable, if you want to know what happened, look it up yourself, because it's dead easy.
Really?
And I don't think the Gurkhas covered themselves in glory, and the British didn't cover themselves in glory, because they sent the Gurkhas in to what is a very peaceful culture. And they did not wreak peace.
Wow.
On the monks and the worshippers and the gentle people of Tibet. And possibly because the British felt a debt of honour to the Gurkhas, because the Gurkhas were prepared to do something that the British would rather not themselves do, okay, then they became, for better or for worse, revered by the British establishment and revered by the British military.
I didn't know that.
And because Joanna Lumley comes from that neck of the woods, or at least was born in that neck of the woods,
she's jumped on the bandwagon.
She likes to think that she has a hotline to these noble people, many of whom seem to need the help of the United Kingdom in order to make ends meet at the moment in this country. Right, there you are. Since you mentioned Joanna Lumley.
Oh, I've learned something.
Since you mentioned the Gurkhas, I wasn't going to.
No. Right.
Thank you for drawing it out.
Okay.
Because as you can see, I find it very irritating. Where are we? It's now we're halfway through the programme and we haven't got quite enough names yet. On the shortlist, we're looking for a shortlist of 20 of the most irritating people in the United Kingdom.
So give us a call. Nicky will do the number in just a second if you want to make a note of it. I always have to. If I'm listening to a radio station, I always find the guy says the phone number too quickly for me. And I haven't got a pen. Because I'm usually in the bath. That's when I listen to most of my speech radio, talk radio, in the bath. It's great on the phone. Because I listen to American stations quite a bit. And I tried ringing one once. And the phone just never got answered.
Oh.
And I don't know whether that was either because the show was very popular or because there was nobody there, which I suspect. So having given the good listener an opportunity to grab a pen, what's the number?
It is 0344 499 1000. Or if you want to just send us a text telling us who irritates you, you can text TALK and your message to 87222. Text costs 25p in your standard network rate. Or, of course, you can tweet at TALK Radio.
In for Ian Lee, it's Sam at the controls, Kath in the producer's chair, and Nikki and Tom in the studio.
The Tommy Boyd Radio Experiment.
Tommy Boyd on TALK Radio.
The search is on for the most irritating person in Britain, but it's a kind of conversation that, as with all conversation, it sort of leads us into other areas quite easily. We're just talking there about the political situation in Tibet as a result of wondering whether Joanna Lumley is irritating. Let's take a call from Chris, who's in North Wales. Hello, Chris.
Hello, Tommy. I'd like to nominate Stephen Fry as one of the most annoying people in Britain.
Wow, that's out there, man. That is really out there, you think?
Yeah, he's just got such a sort of know-it-all vibe, and he's got this arrogance about him that he seems to come across as holier than thou.
He's a very intelligent man, though. You say he's a know-it-all, but he does actually know it all.
Yeah, he does know it all.
It's quite easy to be a know-it-all when you've got all the answers to QI on the cards in front of you and you've been to all the production meetings. And he's got this attitude, especially towards religion. I'm not a religious person myself, but I find he comes across quite aggressive against religion. And then you contrast that with his attitude to, for instance, Apple products, which can be...
Sorry, say again.
Contrast
it to what?
His attitude towards Apple products, which he seems to be in love with.
No.
And he's
try one more time. Apple products...
Yeah.
You mean, the gizmos. Yeah. Sorry, Steve Jobs. Okay.
Yes.
Right.
Every time there's a new iPhone out, he's the first in line. He's always, you know, given a platform to preach about how brilliant it is.
Yeah. What could he do differently, then, that would be less irritating, apart from disappear?
I think certainly be less aggressive toward those he disagrees with. I think that would be...
Such as you've got a thing about his atheism, haven't you?
Yes,
we've got there, haven't we? Come on, I'll tell you something that's really irritating. That's arch Christians who pretend that they're kind of not, they're neutral, really, but actually, what it is the Bible.
Yeah, so yes. I'm not religious myself, but this idea of people who are sort of aggressively atheists. I think Stephen Fry...
Well, there aren't many aggressive atheists, really, when you think about it. I think, generally speaking, at this moment in time, atheism is fairly clear of any associations with violence. I don't think there are many terrible things taking place in the name of atheism
not aggressive as in violence, but certainly using his comedic platforms to have a go at religions. In a sense that it's not necessarily appropriate, sort of jars with the sort of...
But if you're not religious, why does that bother you?
I just don't think it's an enjoyable sort of way for him to use his comedic platform. So if you're watching, for instance, QI, and they're all having sort of an intelligent discussion, it comes an attack on some sectors of the viewership. It feels like he's been given this platform to be quite attacking on a sector of the British people or the world.
Why don't you really just sort of level with us and tell us what it really is?
That's what it is.
What?
It's Stephen Fry's arrogance. It's the idea that he thinks he knows best and that he's given this platform to preach his views that other people aren't given.
I'm not going to dwell on this forever if you're not going to come clean.
But I'm not sure what you mean.
I think you've got a hidden agenda
There's something underlying
not irritating.
Here.
You're not irritated by Stephen Fry. You feel a little bit threatened by him because he is enormously intelligent and he criticises something that I think you like. Am I right?
No, not at all.
Then I can't see your point.
I don't think you're...
If your point was what I said your point might be, then you'd have a point. But at the moment, you haven't got a point. With all due respect, which is fairly minimal.
Well, I think that's unfair. I think not wanting a comedian to be given a platform, and he's given a much higher platform than many comedians, I don't think he's used... I think he's using that platform to promote an agenda.
Yes, well, why don't you just tell us what that agenda is that you disagree with? Because we can all guess.
I know, but it's not that...
You're a creationist?
No, not at all.
You're a Christian?
No.
You're religious?
No, I would say that I'm agnostic.
Why on earth can you be annoyed then that he seems to be more or less the same as you?
Because I don't think it's not necessarily that he seems to see his.
Do you find people irritating who are much more intelligent than you?
No, not at all. But I think it's irritating when people are given a platform.
You keep saying the platform thing. I don't get it. No, sorry. Nothing that you say is going to be retained or definitely not nominated onto the list.
I don't think he's on the list.
Absolutely not.
Sorry, Chris.
No circumstances. In fact, I'm going to actually seize on something we were talking about half an hour ago and say that I would like to go for a beer with Stephen Fry.
Yeah, I would.
Love to go for a beer with Stephen
Fry. Fascinating.
I nearly got a game of snooker with him once. And it's not a name drop because I've only ever been to the Groucho Club, which is a fancy club in London, once. And I was told that upstairs there was a snooker table. And if you wanted a game of snooker, all you had to do was go up there and put 50p down. And when your 50p came up, you would play whoever had won the previous game on the table.
Just like you do in pubs, yeah.
Yeah, and I went up there, except this is a snooker table. And I went up there and Stephen Fry was playing somebody. And so I put my 50p down. Ah, and he lost.
He lost.
And I had to pretend I didn't know because in the Groucho Club... You're not supposed to
lots
say...
Lots of famous people in there,
you,
yeah.
You know, Jesus Christ, aren't yeah. you, you know... But you don't. So I just said, okay. So I played some bloke instead.
Oh, what a shame.
Yeah, I know,
so
I know.
Close.
Where are we? We are heading towards another set of very important messages. And let's just see. Kath, who have we got definitely on your list of 20 so far? Can I help? I believe Greg Wallace cannot be...
You are so pushing for him, aren't you?
Shh.
You really want Greg Wallace, do you?
Do you get that feeling?
He's been nominated by several people.
Called Tommy Boyd.
And I think Timmy Mallett and who else had several votes?
Well...
So far.
The one that stands out for me so far, which is hands down on the list.
Yes.
No messing, and everyone agreed. Richard Madeley.
Really?
Yes.
Okay. All right. I'm not going to argue
serious,
with
serious, cheesy smugness.
Producer, mm-hmm. I never argue with producers.
And Timmy Mallett is there.
Yeah.
But wasn't that his thing? Wasn't he designed to be annoying?
No, I don't think he thinks he is.
Really?
No.
Gosh.
No. He kind of likes the fact that he is noticed.
Mm.
That's quite important to him.
Well, you couldn't miss him, could you?
No. You're right, the Hawaiian shirts and stuff like that.
On a previous radio station where I used to work, I interviewed him once.
Okay.
And out of all the people I've interviewed over the years, he's the only person that ever wrote a letter afterwards to say, thank you for having me on your show.
Oh, gosh.
Really?
Yes.
I had one of those from Jilly Cooper.
Did you?
She was frightfully nice.
She is nice, yes. Isn't that funny? He wrote a thank you letter.
I've only ever had that once. That was from Gerry Anderson, who invented Thunderbirds.
Wow.
And that was really well received.
Yes.
Oh, and from a lady who ran a school for people with hard of hearing, because I had to interview some children who had no hearing on the radio. And it was a challenge. And I got a nice letter from her afterwards saying, you know, that wasn't easy and well done. So that is nice.
That's nice.
Timmy Mallett. Okay, so I've got a very interesting story, but I'm going to hold it back until after we've heard these very, very important messages on Talk Radio.
Across the UK, online and on DAB.
Tommy Boyd.
Tommy Boyd on Talk Radio.
We're talking mainly about the most irritating people in Britain, and funnily enough, the conversation has turned to Timmy Mallett. Now, what happened was this. I was... in the studio when I worked on a bunch of television called Children's ITV, which is where you sit in a cupboard and you introduce all the programmes. And they were very good. And I got a phone call from an American TV station. And they said, hi, we understand that you used to work on a children's programme in the United Kingdom called The Wide Awake Club. And I said, yep. They said, well, we understand that that was where Mike Myers made his television debut. And I said, yes, I believe that's the case. Do you remember working with Mike? And I said, yes, I do very well, actually, because he was quite an impressive figure, even in that early stage of his career. So they said, would you be willing to record an interview about your recollections of Mike Myers? So I said, yes, I'd be happy to do that. They said, the thing is, we can actually do it live, so we would like you to tape your answers to the questions without anybody there to ask you the questions, and then you can send it via satellite to us. So I said, okay, fine. I said, is there a fee? And they said, no. So I said, why would I want to do it then? They said, well, you know, just out of... they said there was a fee, but we paid it to somebody else and we can't use what they did.
Oh.
So I said, oh, what was that then? They said, well, some little guy. And we got him in a studio and we set it all up. We paid for it and gave him a fee. And the question that he was supposed to answer was, what do you remember of Mike Myers on the Wide Awake Club? And this little fellow was wearing this kind of... shirt. Did you ever see Tom Selleck in
Magnum?
Yeah, I know you mean. Yeah, that. And he had this plastic hammer. And in answer to the question, what do you remember of Mike Myers on the Wide Awake Club? He got up out of the chair and started hitting the camera with the plastic rubber and shouting, meaningless, meaningless, totally meaningless. Mike Myers, meaningless. Wayne's World, meaningless. And we decided we couldn't use it. So,
can you imagine what the Americans would have made of him?
I know. This lovely,
that's lovely a great story.
But then, you see, I mean, he was huge. He's not now, but he was huge. And I got a phone call from Thames TV and they said, would you come on the Sooty Show and be a guest on the Sooty Show? So I said, yeah, I'd love to.
Yeah.
That is absolutely fantastic. So I got there and they'd set up the set, which was a kind of a shed. And in the shed... Matthew, who was Sooty's operator, had invented a number of mechanical hammers. And these mechanical hammers would smash anything that was in their path. They were remote-controlled hammers. And so I'm doing this, and I'm doing my bit, and I'm gradually realising that what has happened here, I think... is that they tried to book Timmy Mallett to be a guest on the Sooty Show. And for whatever reason...
you end up the poor second.
Either I was the poor second. Very poor second, if you think about it, because they'd already built the set.
No.
Or something else happened that meant he couldn't do it. Maybe he had toothache. I don't know.
Brilliant.
But what was... the other funny thing was this. At one point, some shards... of this clay pot came flying off and cut my hand. So I'm standing on the Sooty set, right, and I've got blood running down my hand.
Was this live?
No.
Thank goodness.
And so Matthew Corbett shouted out, get a plaster for Tommy, get a plaster, he's cut his hand, get a plaster. And I said, I'm not bothered, it's not bad a cut. And he replied, I'm not worried about you, he said, I just don't want to get blood on the prop. And I put my hands on my hips and I said to him, Sooty is not a prop.
Thank
and I
you.
Meant it.
Thank
I
you
meant
for
it.
Saying that, because I would have been exactly the same.
Well, here's a blast from the past. Bye-bye, everyone.
Oh.
Bye-bye.
Oh.
Where do we get to in our list?
Well, we've got a variety of people. Keith Lemon, Jeremy Clarkson, Greg Wallace, Nick
well,
Knowles.
We said
Nicholas
no to Keith
Sturgeon.
Lemon because we felt he was deliberately...
No, we didn't.
Okay.
He's top of my list, so he's got to go on there, Kath.
How are the tweets looking, Kath? Have we had a few more?
Yes. We've got Alec Jones, Chris Moyles and Craig Revel Hallward.
They are excellent.
That's from Mull Enthusiast.
Tony Blair, this is from Chris, is the most irritating and frankly dangerous celebrity in Britain.
Oh, another dangerous one.
Mm. The arrogance and interference of this man is breathtaking, and it's so breathtaking, he's spelt a lot of that in capitals.
Oh, dear.
Mm, furious.
If only you could tweet in green.
Here's another one. Let's see. Oh, David Owen says Alan Carr for his laugh. Oh, no, bless him.
I've not listened to him a great deal, but I do think he has an irritating laugh,
yes. He does, but he's just an awkward type.
But that's part of his act again, isn't
it?
Yeah, it's one of those.
Yeah, okay.
Okay, here's one from Zachariah from Sheffield. Fern Cotton and Kay Burley should be on the list of irritating British people, and Katie Hopkins too.
Oh,
Katie Hopkins. Name has cropped up more than once on our other lists. Kay Burley, you don't like Nikki, I know.
How do you know that?
It's more than irritation, though, isn't it?
Because you mentioned it the last time.
Did I?
Yeah. Mm. See, I listen. I do listen. Mm. So, Kay Burley, is she on the list?
I think they're on a different list.
Okay. Yeah, that's a good call. That's a good call. Because equally, I wouldn't mind going for a beer with Kay Burley.
Really?
Yeah. I'm at that.
Why?
Yeah, just say that out loud.
Why?
Because she's an interesting, amusing, strong person. I happen to believe she's got a lot of integrity. So, I would.
Okay.
That's what I'm saying.
I wouldn't.
You wouldn't?
No, I wouldn't.
We'll go to a different pub.
Yeah, definitely.
Right, James Jordan, who is he?
Dancer.
Irritating?
Extremely irritating.
Okay. Really irritating.
Really?
And his wife, Ola, who's also a dancer.
Yeah, I like her, but I think he plays her up. He uses her a bit, I think.
Yeah, he's bad for her.
Mm. A man on television using a woman as a prop.
His wife is very kind of very pretty and petite and, you know, great dancer, obviously, because she was on Strictly. But he's always sort of, I don't know.
It's like the little woman thing, isn't it, a bit?
A bit, and kind of using her as a, you know, going on about how sexy she is and... Mm. Mm. In that kind of really inappropriate way.
And the thing is, he got sacked off Strictly Come Dancing and she stayed. And I think he was a bit jealous and encouraged her to leave after a while.
See, that's the sort of tension I detected with Peter Andre and Katie Price. Before they split up, I felt that he was a bit kind of trying to jump into her limelight.
Fame, yeah. Mm.
Okay. I'll tell you what's irritating, and it's not a person. It is the fingers of all the male dancers on... Strictly.
Yes.
They extend their over something or other flamboyance to the very ends of their fingertips. So if you can't tell, sometimes the celebrity is a really, really good dancer, like that bloke who won it last time, crazy, and the other dancer is almost, you know, is as good, but you can tell ultimately who is a celebrity,
who's the
professional dancer, from their fingertips. Mm.
Which that's what it's about, dancing.
I find that really annoying. I can't do it with my fingertips. Look. And that's partly because, and this is an interesting change of subject, which we'll dwell on for just a second. Have you got any interesting scars, Nikki?
No, I haven't.
None at all.
I've got one on my calf when I was shaving my legs in the bath and someone knocked on the bathroom door and made me jump. And
there you are. You see, you've got a story. When you're a teacher, and I was an English teacher, and you used to have what's called a sleeve lesson in case suddenly you're in the staff room, you're doing your marking, somebody comes in and goes, can somebody please take 3R for an hour? And you've got to go and do it.
Whatever the subject.
And my sleeve lesson was, who has the most interesting scar story?
Oh.
Okay.
Why is it, can I just interrupt? Yes. Why is it called a sleeve lesson?
Because you have it up your sleeve.
Okay.
And so, thank you for paying attention. So the reason I mention it is because one of my most interesting scars is on my hand, and that's part of the reason why I can't do the fingertip thing properly.
Oh,
you see, my third finger
doesn't
work, and that's because I've got this scar right in the middle of my palm, which either, you know, is the mark of the cross, or, more likely, the mark of the footballer Jerry Armstrong, who, in the last football match I ever played in, I jumped up for the ball to try and head it.
Yeah.
And I fell and landed on the floor in the mud. All 14 and a half stone of Jerry Armstrong, who scored that great goal for Ireland in the World Cup.
He did.
He was kind enough.
And he never lets you forget
to give me... No, he doesn't. Even as I was lying on the floor, clutching at my blood-stained palm, which had been practically pierced with the studs from his heels, he said to me, and what a goal it was, I scored.
Yeah.
What a moment that was, and a moment I'll never forget, and the moment nobody will ever forget.
No one will ever
Not if
forget.
I have anything
no.
to do with it anyway.
No.
Right, so another subject for another day, yes, is who listening to the programme has the most interesting scar? It is a good story. Most people have got...
Yours is particularly good. My shaving my leg story is not very interesting.
No, but it's a thought that we can carry around with us for 48 hours if we want to. You shaving your legs. We're talking irritating people. I've got Noel Edmonds on the list. Is he irritating, really?
Yes.
Why?
He's been around too long. He's not overly entertaining. It's all just a bit naff.
There is something slightly, yeah.
Naff.
Claiming that they owe him 93 million. 73 million? Lloyds Bank owe him 73 million. Isn't that irritating?
Very.
Do you really think they do?
No.
They owe him 7 and 6.
Yeah.
But he's calling it 73 million because he likes to appear to be rich and live in a manor and have
helicopters.
And various things. Mm. Shall we squeeze Matthew in before we find out what's been happening in the world in the last 60 minutes? Yes, let's do that. Matthew is calling from Swansea.
Hiya.
Hey, Matthew.
Donal Skehan. Most annoying celebrity, if you want to call him that.
Remind us who that person is, because I'm not
exactly
sure.
Exactly. He appeared from nowhere. He's on. He's a young Irish guy on Saturday Kitchen, calls himself a celebrity.
Oh, him!
Almost as annoying as Greg Wallace.
Fantastic nomination. Fantastic nomination.
You didn't even know his name, but he annoys you.
He does annoy me.
Where did he come from? He came from nowhere. He appeared one day, and all of a sudden, he's there every other Saturday, talking gibberish, can't cook to save his life. He's as unknowledgeable as Greg Wallace himself. Oh.
And equally annoying, almost equally annoying, do you agree with me, is the slightly tubby man who's married to that woman who did the programme before him, who actually cried on the last programme.
James Martin.
Yes. He shed tears.
Yes. I saw
of
that.
Of all the things in the world that are worth crying about.
I saw that.
You can cry at a cheetah running in slow motion. You can cry at a child's choir singing Silent Night. You can cry when your dad dies. But you don't cry because you've been jocked off Saturday Kitchen by a miniature Irishman.
He probably cried because he couldn't get on Top Gear.
Probably, because he likes his cars, doesn't he?
Yeah.
And now he's cropping up in all sorts of irritating adverts as well.
Yes.
Well, exactly. That's a magic nomination, Matthew. I will only close. We're just about running out of time. I've got 10 seconds just to ask you whether Swansea are going to do it this year, or is it going to be another year of lost dreams, the football?
As long as they stay in the Premiership for now...
You're happy with that.
I think that's the goal. We're a small-time city that have made it. So as long as we keep a head above water, then we can succeed.
You'll be happy. Mustard call, Matthew. Yeah. You call again anytime you like, mate. Talk Radio. One or two other nominations for the most irritating person in Britain at the moment is Harriet Harman, up there with Nicola Sturgeon. Discussing her in the next hour. Will I Am, very irritating. Somebody called Jeff Brazier, not quite sure who that is. Danny Dyer, only vaguely know who he is, but quite a few nominations for irritating.
Across the UK, online and on DAB. The Tommy Boyd Radio Experiment. For those about to talk, we salute you.
Tommy Boyd on Talk Radio.
Last hour of the programme today, and Tommy in for Ian Lee, of course. Tommy and Nikki in the studio. Kath is behind the glass screen producing, along with Sam, who is at the controls. We've kind of got this thread running through the show, which is irritating people. Now, I've only had one name put on the shortlist on the website that we've been using to trawl up some ideas for the hour, or two or three. Only one nomination from somebody that somebody actually knew. And, of course, we do all know irritating people, but they're not celebrities, so they don't get to go on the list. In the case of this person, whose name I don't know, so I can't embarrass them, all it is that they're Liverpudlian, but not living in Liverpool, but go on about Liverpool all the time and bring every conversation around to Liverpool and the Beatles and the great Liverpool football teams of the last 30 or 40 years, and nothing else matters. No other conversation will be tolerated or entertained. And I can think of two or three people I know who are irritating in a similar way, that they want to bring the conversation round all the time to the one thing that they think they are on safe ground, constantly banging on about, and it somehow reflects well on them. That is extremely irritating.
It is irritating.
Let's take a look at a few more celebrity suggestions then, shall we? All Welshmen. I'm not going there because that's contentious.
That's out of order. Why would you say that?
Well, I think I'm not going to play with fire.
Mm.
And
no, I wouldn't go there.
And try to help whoever it was made that nomination. But I think I can see where they're coming from. I do agree with whoever's nominated Harriet Harman. There's something irritating about Harriet and her. You know, we were talking about people bringing a conversation around to one thing all the time, and Harriet does seem to bring it around an awful lot these days too. Women and pink buses and what have you.
Well, I mean, she is a woman, so you've got to stand up for your gender, haven't you? So I can sort of see why she does that.
Yeah, but, I mean, Cameron made that point really brilliantly when Theresa May was elected to succeed him. He said, you know, in regard to the fact that the Conservatives now had two women leaders, he said, 2-0 and not a pink bus in sight. At the House of Commons, yeah. So you know, maybe Harriet isn't going about it in the right way.
She's all right. I don't think she makes the list of being not, particularly irritating.
Not irritating
enough.
Enough. Fair enough. Who is Nicola McLean? Does anybody know? I've heard a nomination
she is
for somebody called
footballer's Nic- wife, who's been in Big Brother house. I don't know how many times.
Really?
Yes. So she's just sort of famous. I think she was a model. But she was married to an ex-footballer and she's been in the Big Brother house. And yeah. She's very opinionated and loud when she goes in there and upsets quite a few people.
I'm so pleased that I am immune to the allure of any such programme as Big Brother, anything with a name.
What if you were offered a huge amount of money to go in there?
Provided it was a huge amount of money and I could do something useful with it. I mean that. Then I would consider it. But I don't want to be taken away from my loved ones to live in an Australian jungle and eat. I would like to do, I mean, I don't think the things that they are made to do actually are all that terrifying compared to some of the real things that real people have to do in real life that are genuinely terrifying.
No, I don't think so. I'd quite like to do either the Big Brother house or the jungle just to see how I would cope in that situation. I think you'd find out a lot about yourself. You know, can you imagine being locked in a house with 11 or 12 other idiots? And having to tolerate
most
them.
TV programmes I've worked on have had that format behind the scenes.
Yes.
I can tell you.
Yeah.
Let's have a look here.
We digress. Can I throw someone in there?
Oh, yeah, please. And we'll get to Kath and maybe Sam as well to nominate there.
This is not someone that irritates me, but everyone else thinks this particular gentleman is irritating.
Go on.
Piers Morgan.
No.
You see, I love Piers Morgan. Oh. I find him refreshing.
Yeah, I agree.
To be there on the television in the morning saying the things that we actually are thinking, but you're too PC to say, and he doesn't care. And, you know, and the other thing I like about him is the fact that he puts his hand up if he's wrong. And he does that quite often. You know, someone will say something and he'll go, actually, no, I was wrong. I'll admit that one. It doesn't happen very often, but I think he is brilliant. But so many people can't bear him.
I agree. I think he's fantastic. Breath of fresh air. Absolutely brilliant. But it was very stupid of him to think that those photographs that he published in the Daily Mirror were real. They were ludicrous. A male stream of urine does not look like that. It just doesn't. And if you kick somebody in the face wearing an army boot, it does not make contact like that. Whoever was wearing that army boot was a ballet dancer or something, touching the alleged victim's forehead with the tip of the... Almost sort of, you know, giving it a sympathetic scratch.
Yeah.
So pretty stupid of him to fall for that. Nigel Farage on LBC says Jim Rogan, who ruins my day knowing that he gets to speak pish for an hour.
Pish. That's a good word.
Pish is a good word.
Great word.
Yeah. Jim also nominates YouTubers.
Why?
Once they were funny, he says... Now, they are just pandered to acting for likes. Pandered to acting for likes. Because...
Yeah.
And the young Welsh lad, Ben Phillips. Ben Phillips? Who's he?
Another reality TV person, okay. I think you'll find.
Somebody in the last hour of the programme briefly nominated and nobody fell on it hungrily, so I will. Alid Jones.
What's wrong with Alid? There's nothing wrong with Alid.
Well, it just seems something a little bit false about his chumminess. Hello,
he's nice.
Lovely. Looking for a four-bedroom house in Gloucestershire.
I actually
think... We might have something up our sleeve that might appeal.
I think he is genuinely like that.
Do you?
Yeah, I do. I actually think
What's he ever done?
Apart from singing that song.
He didn't, did he?
What do you mean he didn't?
That wasn't him.
You're not going to shatter my illusions.
I certainly am.
Are you?
Not for the first time. That's not Alid Jones singing...
Shh. I was going to say something. Really?
Walking in the air.
Was it you?
I believe it's not. Not on the on the video. Kath's nodding. She knows that this is the case.
Not on the video, no.
No. He sang it.
Yeah.
I just sang it a bit.
Yeah.
Not very well. And apparently he sang it also a bit, not very well. But managed somehow or other to become associated with...
Make a career out of it.
Yes, yes. And then end up...
On very... Escape to the Country.
Shall I tell you what's irritating? And I have said it before, but I'm going to say it again. For some reason, I have to listen to it because there are fewer people chuntering. And sometimes I just don't want any chuntering. I just do. I don't want any chuntering. And so I find myself listening to it. But it is so smug that it really, I get, and it's classic FM. I just find it so false, so fake. The presenters talk to me as if I'm about 103. And we've got something fantastic up my sleeve in a moment from, yes, you've guessed it, the one and only Mozart.
But
what?
The listeners are about 103, aren't they?
Yes, from the sounds of the things they advertise. You can tell your audience from what gets advertised. Should I have said that?
Probably not.
Kath, who have you got on your list? Here we go.
The fact that you've nominated an entire radio station allows me to nominate my bugbear, my
excellent.
Absolute hate, The One Show.
Oh, God, oh. Yes.
And how much money does she get paid?
Oh, man.
That is wrong.
Those two sitting on the sofa.
I'm sorry.
But it's the whole format. They've taken all the jammy and finalists from local radio, local news, and blanded them up. I mean, I don't know how they managed to do that. It's just awful, cosy nonsense. It makes me want to eat my own face.
Oh, adverting image. we can only but go there.
So, yeah, The One Show.
Yep, I'm with you on that.
And a person, again, because he's so sweet, makes my teeth rot, Daniel O'Donnell.
Oh, yes.
Wouldn't you love Daniel O'Donnell?
He has got such a big fan base.
Huge. I'm going to be in so much trouble.
It's unbelievable, but I know exactly what you mean.
He's just, I just find him so insincere. And the whole thing of the women going to his house for a cup of tea once a year. Oh, God.
I'm so proud. I've got no idea what you're talking about.
They do. They queue up. They show
okay,
up.
Okay.
No.
I don't even know who this person is again. It's fantastic.
You must know.
No.
Singer.
No. No, I don't. I'm too busy.
You're not losing anything in your life by not knowing who Daniel O'Donnell is. Yes.
Exactly. I'm going to wheel out the big guns in just a minute, but you guys are doing a good job. Is that it for the moment, Kath? Mm-hmm. Sam, you got anybody?
How about Jedward?
Oh. Yeah.
Does that count as a person, though?
They are just bizarre.
Not if there were four of them. They still wouldn't amount to a person.
They are bizarre.
Yeah, that's...
They are just... Weird.
There is something fascinating in this sort of freak show thing about it.
Yes.
It? Like, you know, you used to go to the circus and there'd be a bearded lady and...
Yeah, they're kind of a push-me-pull you, aren't they?
Yes.
Yeah.
Right, do you want some of the heavyweights here?
Yeah, come on.
Serious heavyweights.
Go
okay,
on.
Right. Ladies and gentlemen, I give you the one, thankfully, and only David Dickinson.
Oh, Mr.
Cheap as chips.
Mr. Orange.
Yes.
Oh, dear.
Is that irritating?
How the hell has he got on television?
he's kind of good at what he does, but part of his act is irritating.
Terribly.
So, right. More big guns. Either or both.
Ooh.
Because they've sort of morphed into one now. Keith Chegwin, Andy Peters. Do you know what I'm talking about here?
Yeah.
The GMTV. Yeah. Calls will cost £403.
The only thing I find irritating about Andy Peters is that he gets to go on amazing trips all around the world just to say, you can win this holiday or you can win £100,000.
No, it's voiceover.
What? No.
He's in Leytonstone.
No, he's not. You see him on a beach in Barbados every morning.
It's a backdrop.
Never.
It's chroma
key. He's got the jammiest job on television.
No, it's green curtain.
No.
It is.
No.
Promise.
No. So that's irritating.
Yeah, not going for my big guns.
No,
then.
I'm not impressed with your big guns.
All right, well, here's somebody. I'm just going to sell him briefly, see if you can guess who I'm talking about. Okay. He is the ultimate person who tries extremely hard to be endearing and amusing and engaging. But because he isn't really, because we know that inside he is Arnold Schwarzenegger, that robot in Terminator, I nominate, and this is one of my serious big guns, but I bet you're going to go, no, Tommy. Are you ready for it?
Yeah.
Novak Djokovic.
Oh, I can't bear him.
There we go.
Cannot bear him. At the end of his match, when he does that throwing out of the love.
Yeah.
To the people in the audience. Ah!
Yes.
If I had a tennis racket, I would bash him on the head with it. No.
No.
That is so insincere.
Irritating.
That is totally...
There's a powerful shout from this side of the glass screen. I don't know how it is for you and Sam. For Novak Djokovic is being irritating.
I'm willing to let you have that one.
Okay.
Yes.
How many have we got now? We need 20
We've got a few, but I've just thought of a couple more.
Before 1 o'clock.
I've thought of a couple more, but so far that I've allowed through the net.
Yeah.
Richard Madeley, Timmy Mallett, Noel Edmonds, Donald Skean, Daniel O'Donnell, Alid Jones, I think you can have.
No!
Yeah, I know what you mean, insincere. Yeah, insincere. The One Show.
The One Show.
Jed Wood. And I'm going to... And Novak Djokovic. And I'm going to nominate...
Yes.
And this is a controversial one. And you may sue us.
Okay.
Tom Cruise.
Yes.
I don't like him.
Yes.
Isn't it funny? Because I used to adore him, but... No, he just gets on my nerves now.
Yeah, I'm like that with him. I don't know what it is about him. Well, that Oprah, that Oprah interview.
Oh, yeah,
that
since
was,
that. The I bouncing that, on the chair.
That was what started it, wasn't it? Just weird.
It can't be that irritating in what they call real life, whatever that is. What is real life?
That's a good question.
Isn't it?
Mm.
You know, as Robin Williams said. Reality. What a concept. But what is real life? But he can't be that irritating in real life because the girlfriend that I was with before I married my wife was so pissed off with me that she went abroad and she wound up in America and then she wound up in Hollywood and then she wound up as being a sort of a makeup artist come muse because she's definitely... not from round here, okay? And one of the three people who insist that she is involved in their films, if she's available, is Tom Cruise. And because she's such a straight, right down the line, Londoner lady, who's got something, nobody knows what it is, but you can see it as soon as she walks into the room. And she and Tom Cruise and Tom Hanks Steven Spielberg...
Love Tom Hanks.
Recognise that this woman is not from this planet and she adds something to every little shot of every movie that she's involved in. Nobody knows how she does it. I was round her flat and the phone rang and this voice went, let's be the lawyers, please. And I said, I said, she's in the bath. Can I take a message? He said, yeah, can you tell us Stephen phoned? I said, Stephen? He said, yeah, she'll know. So she came out of the bath and she went, oh, who's that on the phone? Because funnily enough, although she's ethereal, she talks like Barbara Windsor.
Oh.
So she went, who's that on the phone? I said, it was Stephen. She went, oh, Stephen. I said, Stephen Spielberg.
I lent him a copy of a book I've read, because I said to him it'd make a good movie. And I said, oh yeah, what was that then? She said, oh, it was a thing called, Schindler's Ark.
No.
Yeah. So not surprisingly, she ends up in Hollywood, because she was the person behind what became what he called Schindler's List. Yes. And she's got her Oscar. They managed to find a reason to give her an Oscar, technically, wow, for makeup on Braveheart. She's the most extraordinary human being. And
so are you still in contact?
Yeah. Oh. Yeah. She's still got her house in Twickenham, but she's also got a ranch just outside Santa somewhere or other, on which she rescues animals and keeps one of the largest bees. She's just, you know, a fantastically strange person. So that's a very long-winded way of saying I'm not sure about Tom Cruise on the list, because if he was as irritating,
she wouldn't have anything to do
with
him.
Needs to be to get on the list. Mm. Then I don't think my dear little friend she is.
So one of your big shots, you've just shot down in flames yourself.
Yes.
You've just shot yourself in the foot.
Yes.
Yes.
Yes, why did they do that? They did that, didn't they, to get out of national service.
Mm.
They would shoot themselves in the foot.
Yep.
Yes. Which I suppose is better than being shot somewhere else by the enemy. Anyway, such is the beauty of conversation that we're digressing slightly. Nominations are still being accepted for the most irritating celebrity in Great Britain at the moment. But we've got some diversions, which we will definitely incorporate on tomorrow's programme, which is, which of the celebrities in the United Kingdom would you most like to go for a drink with?
Brilliant.
Contact details?
Yeah, give us a call, 0344 499 1000. Text TALK and your message to 87222, or tweet us at Talk Radio.
Good morning. It's Sam and Kath on the other side of the glass screen. Sam driving and Kath in the producer's chair, and Tommy and Nikki in the studio. In for Ian Lee on Talk Radio.
The Tommy Boyd Radio Experiment.
Tommy Boyd on Talk Radio.
Just before we go back to the most irritating people in Britain, has anybody been watching any of the cricket over the last couple of weeks? England, South Africa,
Nikki? I've seen a bit.
Bits.
Yeah.
Kath and Sam at all? No. There's something great going on, which at 12:30 we can talk about. And that is this. One of the most legendary pieces of cricket commentary happened when a bowler called Michael Holding,
I know this one,
was bowling at a batsman called Peter Willey. And Brian Johnson, the legendary, said,
the batsman's Holding, the bowl is Willey.
Now, Michael Holding has lived with that for 25 years.
Brilliant.
And what happened was the South Africans were batting and they've got this young lad, his first name's Quinton, and he was batting at number 8 or 9 in the first match in the series where South Africa got murdered. And they brought him up to number 4 in the inning, in the order, for the second test match. And he batted very well. And he was there for a long time. And so it was great that it was Michael Holding in the commentary box on the microphone when this batsman, whose name is de Kock, was dismissed.
Yes.
And there was this long pause and everybody at home was just waiting for how he'd do it. And this, he's got such a deep voice.
Michael Holding, I can't get down there, but he just said, there it is, the end of the cock.
And he did it so neutrally that at first,
I thought
he'd missed his moment, and then I realised that he hadn't.
No.
But then you see, what happened was, we all know, having seen that there's a guy playing in the South African team whose name is de Kock, which is spelled D-E, one word, another word, K-O-C-H. And I hope nobody's offended by this. Why on earth should they be? Because it's very, very funny. You know that the commentators were assessing other opportunities.
They'd been queuing up, waiting.
Everybody would be up in the hotel room late that night, writing out, you know, what? How can I?
Yes.
You know, so my the one I'd have gone for.
It's got to be good.
If he'd been at the crease for, say, about 4 hours, I would have said, no, I'd have had to not crack. Okay?
Yeah.
All right, here we go. So I say, well, he's been at the crease for over 3 hours.
We've seen a lot of the cock today.
Anyway, there's another test coming up.
I can't wait to watch it now.
You can't. just to see what they get in.
The cock.
The cock. Yes. How many mentions of the cock?
The cock is in.
They get in. The cock is in. And they would have had a meeting. You know, because David Lloyd, he would have said, they would have had a meeting. They said, look, don't.
No,
don't do it. It's too obvious.
Yeah.
It's too obvious. And if you do it, you've got to do it without laughing. You cannot, if you do it and crack, then that's your contract. I just don't know how Holding did it without cracking. Because, you know, Henry Blofeld is retiring. He's the one with the very plummy voice, you know, who always says the pigeon lands and the buskers down
there. Yes.
And do you remember the Australian bowler, Glenn McGrath?
Yeah.
Who, basically, Australia lost the Great Ashes series because Glenn McGrath trod on a ball and couldn't bowl in the final test. And so we won. And if you do tread on a cricket ball, you turn your ankle over. Mm. It is very painful. And they were trying out Glenn McGrath as a commentator, and he was up next on the Test Match special. And Henry Blofeld just introduced him like this. He said, and next, we have Glenn McGrath. That's as long as he doesn't tread on the ball. And you could tell it really annoyed and threw Glenn McGrath enormously. And I haven't heard him at the microphone since. So, you know, it's an important job, cricket commentating. And you've got to get the... you've got to get your use of double entendre dead right. What was it Brian Johnson said once? Standing at first slip, his legs apart, hoping for a tickle.
Genius.
Yeah. And then, of course, there was the time when Jonathan Agnew and Brian Johnson were summing up the match afterwards, and Ian Botham had been out hit wicket. He'd brushed the wicket with the inside of his leg, trying to step over it because he was falling backwards. Botham tried to get his leg over but couldn't. And Johnson completely went.
They went, yeah.
And it was funny. It was just, you couldn't not laugh
no.
at it. Anyway, so that was why I was laughing enormously.
It was worth laughing.
Was it funny?
Oh, it was funny.
Phew.
For me to cry with laughter.
Because like I said, if it's not funny, you're going to get a memo. This programme is dedicated to finding out who is the most irritating person in Great Britain today. And the final list of 20 we'll have tomorrow from 10 o'clock on Talk Radio. And we'll work our way towards the number one. And there could be some argument there. Gary Lineker has been nominated by Danny Costello. I don't know what I think about that. I don't find Gary irritating at all, actually, personally. Slightly.
I do find him slightly irritating. He doesn't sort of really wind me up. But, yeah, again, it's the sort of smugness and earning that sort of money now we've discovered and all the crisp adverts. It's just like...
I think if there's one thing I find irritating in Match of the Day, it's this. Gary Lineker is probably one of the greatest English footballers ever amongst the greats. He won the Golden Boot at a World Cup. I mean, that puts him up there with Pelé. And he probably knows more than all... the little commentator, the little experts that he now has to ask questions of in the studio. And he finds himself asking players, you know, who have done nothing in their careers. I mean, Lineker did all that for England, played for Barcelona, didn't he, under Johan Cruyff and all the rest of it. And he's clearly a consummate broadcaster and a very bright man, good journalist, funny. And he's asking these people who only ever played for Tranmere what they think. That would be irritating, I think, if you're Gary Lineker. Just help me out quickly at 12:30. Lee Robinson has nominated Gillian McKeith.
She's the one that went into the jungle. Do you know the one that kept fainting?
Yes.
She is really annoying. She examines people's poo.
What?
She talks about people's diets and she always says, do a stool sample. And then she looks at it and says, right, you're eating the wrong foods.
Is that bad, though?
Well, that's not the irritating thing. It's just her that's irritating.
Honestly, if you've seen her in I'm a Celebrity, goodness me, what a strange woman.
Well, we quite like strangeness, but...
Oh, no.
As long as it's real.
Well, that's the whole thing, isn't it? Okay. That was all just for camera time, I think.
One last one for the moment. Casey Case has nominated Fiona Phillips, who used to do GMTV.
Oh, yes.
Is she only irritating?
A little bit, yes.
Irritating?
Yes.
No, we're not sure.
My mother-in-law loved her, but I just, you know, she used to get up my nose a little bit.
Okay.
But not big enough to go on the top 20.
Got half an hour if you're listening and you'd like to nominate somebody, a celebrity, or even someone you know. We could open it and go in that direction. It won't get on the final list of 20, which we're going to finalise before 1 o'clock, hopefully. And then we'll have them arranged in a top 20 and do them in ascending order and all the rest of it tomorrow on the programme. This is how to get in touch with us.
Yeah, you can call us on 0344 499 1000. You can text us, text TALK in your message to 87222. Text costs 25p plus your standard network rate. Or, of course, you can tweet at TALK Radio.
This is TALK Radio.
Across the UK, online and on DAB.
Tommy Boyd. Tommy Boyd on Talk Radio.
Let's see what the tweet situation is. Shall we rush to the control room and see what Kath has?
Okay, here we go. Right. This is from Andrew. Dear Tommy, most irritating celebrity, Grayson Perry. I like his art, but not his personality, says Andrew.
Yeah.
Really? I quite like him. Cliff Bloody Richard, says Mull Enthusiast.
Irritating. Yes, a little bit.
Yeah. Is it because he's a bit saccharine?
That's another one of those.
He's had a rough deal from a broadcaster over the last 3 or 4 years.
Yeah.
But they suddenly started being extremely nice to him, sort of compensate for him, and he was interviewed for no apparent reason, and his latest song was played for no apparent reason. So maybe that evens itself out. There's not enough of him to be irritating, I don't think.
How about Alan Watson's suggestion, Jamie Oliver?
Well, of all the celebrity chefs, he, I think, is the most genuine, actually. Although there are some... I am annoyed by the way he always says literally. So he says, and what you do is you literally just spoon it in.
Yeah.
You only say literally.
He does say it a lot.
Metaphorically.
Yeah. So... But is he irritating? I don't think so. He does seem to care about kids' diets.
That gets people's backs up, doesn't it? When celebrities seem to step outside of their remit, according to
but
people.
But he has got enough children.
Yeah, he knows.
How many children has he got?
Oh, about 5,000.
Who's he married to? Is it the girl who was his producer when he started up?
His girlfriend from forever, Jules.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, that's always endearing.
Yeah, it is.
It's one of the many reasons why possibly the least irritating sportsman ever is Roger Federer. Because he's just not irritating, is he? He's just completely genuine. He doesn't have to do anything.
Yeah, but isn't that boring? I've actually got to the point where I think he's boring now.
Boring?
Yeah. I mean, fantastic tennis player.
Yes, he's boring. Okay, he's boring. But he's for real. And he married his childhood sweetheart.
Yeah, and those beautiful children they've got. Yes. Two pairs of twins.
And he had to have 6 months off because he, playing all that sport and spending all that time in the gym, he twisted his knee running his daughter's bath. Isn't that
really?
Fantastic?
Oh,
well, that's what they say anyway. You don't know, do you? Because so many people have 6 months off and they come back just that much bigger and stronger.
Well, obviously, just won Wimbledon playing
like
that.
But not him. Not Rog.
No, but...
Not Rog. By the way, if we have to pronounce people's names right properly now, so Newcastle is now Newcastle, and that's right, isn't it? Because it is Newcastle.
Yes, it is.
Nobody who lives in Newcastle says Newcastle.
Newcastle.
So it's Newcastle. Exactly. So why then... And I got told off once when I worked at Five Live because I pronounced Jim Courier wrongly. Right. Why does everyone call Roger Federer Roger? Everyone calls him Roger, and it's not, is it?
I've never heard anybody call him Roger.
It is Roger.
I'm sure it is.
Roger.
Yeah.
Roger Federer.
Yeah.
Federer.
Have you been to Switzerland?
No.
Anybody? They're really irritating.
Oh, are they?
They're boring.
No. Well, they're boring. Yeah. They're really boring, but they're really irritating because they've got four languages.
Oh.
Right. So if you go and speak in English... They won't have that because they've got four of their own languages, so they won't reply to you.
What are the four?
Oh, God. French, German, I think Italian, mm-hmm. and something else. Genoese or Genoevan or blah, 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 something mm. like that. Anyway, this is what's really irritating, right? You go into a bar and you say, "Bonsoir, monsieur. Un basso de vino, s'il vous plaît." They won't have that. They want you to speak German. So, you're trying to say...
They play
thing.
With you.
You go in, you know that thing about... that people joke that if you go into a Welsh pub, they immediately all start speaking Welsh. Well, the Swiss do this in a multi-layered way. Mm. Whatever you try to speak them in with, to them in, they'll claim that they want you to speak a different language. That's very irritating.
Mylene Klass.
Very, very irritating.
Mm.
Mylene Klass, pop singer?
Well, she was in the band, and then you know, she's also a classical pianist. She's on television, does
she
all
models,
sorts.
She models, she, quote-unquote, designs.
Yeah.
There's jealousy? Or...
Yeah, there is a bit of jealousy, I'm going to be honest. But there are an awful lot of pap shots
yes.
of Mylene that I do not believe she isn't complicit in.
Exactly.
Oh, right.
Here's
I did not
Mylene
know this.
They're
down
nice,
the street
to... beautiful shots of her, aren't
so,
they?
So, fake paparazzi mm. shots. I've worked out pap from paparazzi.
Yes.
So, fake paparazzi shots.
Yeah.
You get somebody to take a photograph
yes.
of you as though you're caught mm. shopping in Harrods.
Well, just, usually just... wearing one of her own designs on the way yes. to her radio show.
And
yes.
a little bit popped out.
Mm.
Or not,
no,
as the
no,
case may be. No,
it's not even that. It's just generally looking... gorgeous
too
put
gorgeous.
Together.
Too gorgeous to be right. in real life situation.
See, you were talking about Piers Morgan being honest, and I saw him in America. They showed a YouTube clip of somebody who was kayaking along the coast, and they saw a tiny little puppy dog on a piece of driftwood. And they canoed over to it and saved it. And it was a lovely story. And mm. all the other broadcasters were going, oh. And Piers Morgan just went, no, I smell a rat.
He's so cynical.
He's got his camera out and he's got his helmet camera out and he's running it. And just happens to see a dog there on a... Ah, can't see it, mate. No, can't see it.
Cynical journalist.
No, which was, as you say, absolutely fantastic. Right, well, we're slowly heading towards getting ourselves a short list of 20 of the most irritating people in the United Kingdom.
I've got a late entry.
Who?
Anthea Turner.
Yeah, she's crossed that... crosses over onto another list that I've got, so... Anthea Turner, please, Kath, possibly. A quick word with Dominic, or shall we come back to Dominic in just a moment? I think we'll do that. Let's get some wise words, and then it will be Dominic on his mobile.
The Tommy Boyd Radio Experiment.
Tommy Boyd on Talk Radio.
Most of the people on most of the selling channels on TV, but not necessarily the QVC ones, because they're actually sometimes quite good, but a lot of the other ones as well, particularly the very enthusiastic ones, who you can tell really are not at all that enthusiastic about this thing, which will fit very nicely on the counter in your caravan and which will cook you a meal that is very good for you and very delicious and won't make you fat at all. And it's amazing. That's irritating.
I've got one of those at home because it's so fantastic.
You are kidding me! All that
yeah.
stuff. I quite like some of the arts and crafts ones who are really tired of it all and they show it, you know, by going... So anyway, you know, you can cut it out or you can glue it down there. It doesn't really matter, frankly. Oh, dear. How did I end up like this? Oh, I wanted to be in a band. I was in a band a bit. Anyway, back to cutting things out. just ahead of Dominic, very quickly, Kim Woodburn, who is she? I've had her nominated by Fiona.
She's Harris. The cleaning woman.
Oh, yeah. Yes, yes.
With
yes.
the bun. And she calls everybody lovey.
Okay. Irritating?
Oh, very.
Very, okay. Right, Kath, you've got about 10 or 15 minutes to give us the 20 that we're going to be...
Ooh. Tough job.
No.
Can I put a late entry in?
Yeah.
Paul Burrell. Yes!
Yes. Yeah.
Absolutely.
Yeah, yeah.
Goodness me.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay, you were Diana's butler. Okay, we know that. But it's all... Oh, no.
Dominic, in...
Hello?
It's Dominic in Mobile. I was wondering to myself, where is Mobile? Dominic on his
mobile. Yes, in London.
Sorry. It will be one in the end, won't it? MP for Mobile. Yes. Who do you nominate?
Oh, well, I want to nominate a whole family. Okay. So it's great numbers of people, but the Kardashian family are just beneath contempt in how they operate.
Yeah.
And I think they are really, you know, just completely, you know, a misrepresentation of society, misrepresentation of the word reality. And, I mean, I just completely, I mean, if you could put them above number one, that'd be great.
And yet, wasn't it weird that the boss of the family, the father of the family, was indeed on the legal team defending O.J. Simpson?
Oh, it's all...
And a huge friend of the family. Didn't the Kardashians call him Uncle Juice?
Yeah, I mean, every single one of them... I mean, that's quite ironic in, you know, what's happened with him recently. But, I mean, if you go through all of them, I mean, they've all had some sort of... I mean, you know, their mum is dating someone, you know, who's old enough to be her son, so she's basically dating her son. The dad is now the mum. All of the sisters have had scandals and problems, divorces, mismatched. I mean, that's probably somewhat of a representation of society, but the drama that follows with it, I mean, it's just completely, I mean, it just makes me, it brings up my dinner every time.
And terrible role models as well.
Yes.
Oh, I mean, I feel so, I mean, there was a survey that came out last week that Instagram, Facebook, Snapchat, all these social medias, which I don't have, especially for young girls aged between 18 and aged between 16 and 18, then it causes massive depression because they see Kim Kardashian and say, "Oh, I want a body like that."
Why?
Understanding that they've spent thousands trying to get their body in that way.
They are huge, though, and I think if you're that big, you're probably beyond irritating. Take Liberace, who was potentially the most irritating human being who's ever lived, but because he was so huge, he went beyond being irritating. And I think the Kardashians are a little bit like that. And you are a bit upmarket, aren't you, Dominic, for to say, you know, to be interested in the Kardashians at all?
Yeah,
really?
No, it's shocking. I mean, I feel so sorry for...
After all, you said, bring up your dinner, not bring up your tea, you know.
No, I bring up my dinner.
Exactly, as I'm saying. You're quite an upmarket listener, and that's good. We're glad. Glad to have people who are prepared to bring up their dinner rather than their tea. It's fantastic.
I bring up everything. I'll select what I want to bring up because I need to preserve stuff. Well, we're running on a Brexit budget, so I've got to preserve things now.
This is what I'm talking about. You're upmarket, so that's perhaps... So, therefore, who else is on your list?
Well, so the Kardashian family were the sort of biggest. There's this new show. I don't know. It's not really a family. I don't know if you know it. It's called Love Island. And I keep hearing that word every week. And there's no love on that island. There's promiscuous behaviour. There's adulterous behaviour. That's what it should be called. I mean, you know, these people, they come, they go. They come on this show. They, you know, get pumped up by the producers to pretend to cry on cue, to do this, to do that.
Yeah.
And then people think that's how love life is supposed to be. So, you know, your partner's supposed to, you know, storm off and go down the road to Sophie's house and sleep with Sophie and then come back. And, oh, he had to do that in order to, you know, progress the relationship because now I recognise that, you know, he's only faithful to me.
So it's fake.
It's more about sex
than about love. So you could call it Fake Orgasm Island.
Better.
That would carry...
I would watch that.
Do you know, I've said it before and I'll say it again. One of the things that I've always found... what have I found it? Well, it's irritating. Men can't fake it.
Yes, no, of course.
Of course not.
I mean,
we can't. We can't fake it.
Well, why would you want to?
And of course, I mean, the thing is, that show...
That's a good point.
I believe that show is somewhat real. But I think what they do, some parts are so scripted. I mean, they'll say something like, I can imagine them saying, oh, we've heard rumours that Louis, for example, is going to break up with you. So if he does, please try and break down and slam a door. Because obviously that's great entertainment for some people in England. So I believe, you know, some bits are probably, you know, the breakups are probably true. But the drama that follows behind, slamming doors, smashing up things, I mean, things that my nephew would do when you can't get a lolly on a Friday evening, you know, those things are associated with those types of shows. I just think it's that show and the Kardashians. I mean, if
do you happen to know, does anybody here happen to know whether Love Island is a franchise in the same way as I'm a Celebrity, Get Me Out of Here is a franchise?
I do hope not.
In other words, have they got this villa in Spain, is it?
It's Mallorca.
Mallorca. Mm. And it's the British Love Island at the moment. And then it's the Australian Love Island and, you know.
Mm.
Or is it just
not as far as I know.
There was a report that came out this week from the Daily Mail. I know that's not always accurate, but it said that the whole set's been held up with partition walls and plastic planks and crappy grass. So I suspect they just sort of use that, rent that out. I'm a celebrity, they'll throw them in there next year and, you know, all sorts of things. But I don't know. I mean, the whole show needs to be, and it's still going for some reason. It's still going.
It's huge this year. I think this is the biggest one yet. Everybody's talking about it.
Oh,
What you're not getting away with, though, if you don't mind me saying so, is your suggestion that the Daily Mail isn't always accurate.
It has its. You look at the source of the information, and you look at the Daily Mail's comparison. Sometimes, you know, I mean, I remember one article a few years ago that said I think a white chap had been reported for some crime he'd committed. And when you actually looked at the report, I think it was a black person in the end. So I'm not quite sure, you know, how they get their story and where they get it from. No. It's not easy to make that mistake.
I don't want Paul Dacre to be upset listening to this.
Paul, we love you.
Yeah, we love you, Paul. And you've done British journalism a great, and the British people a great service. So,
As long as he doesn't join Love Island or give up the Kardashians, the love will continue to flow from the British public.
Anyway, so Dominic, dinners and Daily Mail. Who else do you find irritating?
Oh, well, I find Diane Abbott beyond contempt. When the remains of my dinner and tea have come up, I just heard of, like, the thought of her name even being mentioned in my presence. It's that of Lucifer. I mean, she can't string a sentence together. Quite confused how she got into politics. You know, she's really, you know, the three things I kept saying, and this is now going to highlight what job I'm in, but I kept saying, you know, the Labour Party want to borrow $500 billion, they want to get rid of Trident, and Diane Abbott can't string a sentence together. I'm not very keen on Diane Abbott, making it a bit...
Sorry, how does that tell us what you do?
Yeah, I didn't work it out.
Nuclear weapons? Nuclear submarine?
Nuclear weapons? I haven't gone that far.
I have this theory that you know, like we used to let children go to war?
Yes.
In Nelson's time. Well, I mean, it's just worth thinking about the fact that most of our fighting very soon is going to be done by people with computers.
Oh, yes, true. Yes.
Isn't it?
Terrifying.
And who would you trust to fight a war using computers? The average...
David Cameron.
12-year-old or some brigadier who thinks that ITV is some newfangled channel. Do you see what I'm saying?
Yeah, yeah.
Do you see what I'm saying? Not only that, if we allow children, if they wanted to sign up, our aircraft carriers wouldn't cost as much because they'd be about a third the size of the one that we've just commissioned.
True, yes.
Wouldn't they?
Mm? Well, I think the best person to lead this, you know, debate, and hopefully he'll come on the show one day, is, I think David Cameron is the best in terms of, you know, properly leading. And, of course, I think he's better than Diane Abbott. And, you know, I know that they used to send kids to war. Whether that will come back again, I'm not quite sure. But I think the Kardashians, I think in the pecking order, I think at the very top would be Diane Abbott.
Right. Dominic, I got to go. I've enjoyed talking to you, and I hope to talk to you again, even if it's tomorrow night.
It may be tomorrow. I'll call up again.
All right, then. Thank you. Got to squeeze in Simon, who's also in mobile, wherever that is. Hello, Simon.
You all right, Tommy?
All right.
How's it going?
Yeah, good.
I used to watch you on the Wide Awake Club. So I'd throw that in. Anyway, just saw this article and it really pressed a few buttons. One of what you thought, loads of people are outraged. Teenage Vogue magazine in America, they posted a 2-page article on anal sex for 11 to 17-year-olds.
Well, I think about three things here. First of all, let's not go into that anymore, okay? Right. Secondly, I don't know whether that's true. It's not a thought I want to keep in my head at all.
No, awful.
I will say that nothing surprises me anymore. Mind you, nothing's surprised me for about 40 years, to be honest.
What about Ghostbusters 2?
Well, I haven't seen it, so it didn't surprise me. What surprised you about Ghostbusters 2?
CGI.
The CGI in it?
Yeah, it looks like it was drawn on with a crayon.
As far as Ghostbusters 1 goes, that was
good to know
movie.
You're ready and you're wide awake.
Is this call descending into that sort of level?
Get set, go.
I think it is. Goodbye. Thank you for your call. I went to see the press launch of Ghostbusters, but I don't remember that as much as the fact that in the audience, everybody found out was Mick Jagger's daughter. And it was one of those moments where you don't want to do a rubbernecky thing and look around to see where Jade Jagger, I think her name is, was, and whether she was laughing at Ghostbusters or whatever, or whether she had security with her, or whether she was there with Bianca or, you know, anything like that. But yet you do, don't you?
Yeah. You can't help yourself.
No. Right, Kath, we're getting close to the time. We've got a couple of minutes left. It's a tall order, I know. But I'm going to ask you, how close have you got to the 20 finalists in the most irritating celebrity in Britain today?
Halfway.
Okay.
Ooh. 10.
10 you've got.
10.
Can we have them?
Yeah. Kim Woodburn.
Okay.
Mylin Klass. Paul Burrell. Novak Djokovic. Daniel O'Donnell. Alid Jones. Donald Skean. Noel Edmonds. Timmy Mallett. And Richard Madeley. Is that 10?
That's more than
feels
10.
Feels like more than 10.
That was definitely more than 10.
Feels like more than 10.
3, 4, 5, 6,
that's a powerful
7, 8,
list, though.
9, 10. No, it's 10.
Is it 10?
Yeah, sounded, it just, the more? Irritation factor is so heavy that it felt
yes.
more.
Yeah.
Yes. Like that optical illusion, isn't it? Where you can't tell which is the longer of the bars. Can Greg Wallace go on, please?
Go on, then. 11.
Gosh.
I think it was, and I'll tell you the reason why he's high on my list. He does strike me as somebody who possibly knows less than he makes out. But it was when a young man tweeted him one Sunday morning because he was going to do a cycle ride to raise money for, I think it might have been leukemia research or something like that. And he said, Greg, I'm doing this, possible to give me a retweet. I don't know quite what that means, but he was hoping that Greg would mention this to his however many followers he's got on Twitter. And Greg just got back to him with one word, which was Greg, but spelt correctly with two G's on the end.
No.
So the young man went, I'm sorry, Greg, you're completely right. Who am I to be concerned about people who are carrying serious illnesses?
Put him at the top
to
of the list.
Someone like you, who name has to be spelt correctly.
Oof.
So that's the reason I would like him on that list.
I'm joining you now.
Talk to you tomorrow night.